KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Sniffs and smells and puppy dog pants. That's what little boys are made of. But what I like best, better than all the rest, is what everything else is made of. And that's booger. Everyone who works or goes to school or plays with toys is made of booger. The Eiffel Tower and the members of the rock group U2 are made of boogers. And everyone who ever watched Seinfeld or Survivor or cartoons or any of the thousands of movies that get played over and over again while you're not watching TV, you know, they're made of boogers. That includes every house on your block and every person on your street is made of boogers. That toy that you just can't seem to find at the bottom of the cereal box is made of boogers. And all your favorite foods, especially Twinkies and ravioli and chicken pot pie and Cocoa Puffs and every soft drink you ever drank, even the root beer, you know, they're made of boogers. Doc, tell them all about it, Sid.
Don't mind if I do.
You can pick your friends.
You can pick your
nose. You can pick your
heaven. No.
I strongly urge you not to pick your friend's nose.
That would be disgusting.
Ah, he thinks so beautifully, doesn't he? See if you can take it all the way to the bridge. It's not that your sister puts on her face to get rid of pimples. Boogers.
Creamy boogers.
The ice cream that the astronauts ate in space is made of boogers.
Cosmic boogers.
And every song by the Beatles or Bob Dylan or Led Zeppelin or Quiet Riot, even though their big hit was originally done by a band called Slade. But you're too young to remember any of those bands, you know. They're made of boogers.
They're made of boogers.
Oh, they're made of boogers.
Oh, they're made of boogers.
Sweet, chunky boogers.
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 Good evening to y'all, or good morning, or good day to you, whoever you might be, wherever you might be. Welcome to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. Nice transition there from Bob Marley's Redemption Day to Boogers from the Asylum Street Spankers, but more about that in just a bit. Thanks to all of you for listening to the program tonight and for supporting KOPN Community Radio in Mid-Missouri and worldwide, of course. On the web, kopn.org. I'll be with you for the next 3 hours. Got a fun show ahead with our good friend Star Newland, so stick around and enjoy. But before all the aloha fun from Hawaii, a quick thank you to Corey. Every week, New Wave Radio Theater, 10 p.m.
to 11 p.m., just an hour before this program. Wonderful stuff. Corey does it up. New Wave Radio Theater, once again, a great program tonight. Thanks, Corey, and we'll see you next week. Before Corey, Kelvin and Jason, or Eric the Red, depending on who you get, they do it up. Jazz plus blues equals the end of the world as we know it. Tech Radio, keeping us up on the wild and ever-changing landscape of high technology. And Jeff Wheeler starts things off with Uncommon Light, 3 to 5 p.m. every Monday. Good music, good talk, good news. A radio roller coaster on a full moon Monday night, cold and sort of cloudy. It's unfortunate because you got a beautiful full moon tonight if you had the opportunity to see her up there. Sister Luna, just shining bright last night, but clouded up a little bit tonight. So at any rate, go on outside if you got the gumption. You might get a break in the clouds and get to see the full moon up there. Wild and wacky regardless all around planet Earth. And, you know, doesn't matter what direction you're looking. Either way, you're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, your imagination station. It's great to be here with you and a part of it all. All right, thanks to everybody who joined in the program last week. A big, hard thank you to Dr. Patty Taylor, another fascinating guest and about the most fun I've had on the radio in quite some time, I must say. Patty teaching people how to feel good, and we all want to feel good, you know. So thanks to Dr. Patty for an informative and sexy talk. You want to know more? On the web, expandedlovemaking.com. And you can listen, of course, to that interview from my archives at mikehagan.com. Just click over to the archives section, okay? There's an MP3 from the show last week. All right, while we're doing thank yous, music from last week, Johnny's Cousin Steve, rock and roll from the Jersey Shore. Thanks to Steve for getting me the music and allowing me to share it with y'all. By the way, all of the musicians that are featured on the program can be found on the website, mikehagan.com. Just click on over to the music archives, all right? Okay, also, if you missed last week's show or any other for that matter, you can always hear them after the fact. All this stuff is up on the web in the archives. Just point your mouse over there, pick a program you think might sound interesting, and check it out. Share it with others if you think they might like it, okay? All right, tonight, the wonderful Star Newland, great friend of mine, and the program will talk about the POD project, Dolphin Living. Dolphin-assisted living, I don't know. Dolphin cooperative living? Living? I don't know, whatever you call it, but communities that are planned, you know, with humans and dolphins living together. Interestingly, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. If you read the old stories from, I think Aristotle actually talks a lot about it in some of his writings, but the dolphins are play a big role in Greek mythology, but they also played a role in Greek culture. You know, the Greek islands are inhabited by cetacea, and there are, you know, stories of, you know, dolphins, you know, accompanying children to school as they would walk along the canals and in between the islands, and they were partners of a sort, and pretty significantly. You know, the oracle at Delphi is essentially, you know, can be tied into this whole dolphin business. But at any rate, we'll speak with Star Newland, and she's got a project called the POD Project that involves exactly this, you know, a living environment that involves human people, you know, and dolphins living together. In Hawaii, of course, and we'll talk with Star in about 45 minutes, 50 minutes or so at the top of the hour at midnight, okay? Also, Domestic Harmony, we'll see how that project's going for her, the Cetacean Commonwealth, lots to talk about with Star tonight, and including the HeartMath Institute. I know that Star's been doing some work and having conversations with the people at the HeartMath Institute, which is in Boulder Valley, California. And HeartMath is amazing, actually. Dr. Michael Mendiza is the guy that runs HeartMath. But Joseph Chilton Pierce is involved in that organization, and a bunch of really, really forward-thinking, cool physicians and other people. But the primary reason that I was so interested in the HeartMath Institute is because they were the first people that began in a really highly organized fashion talking about the heart, the human heart, as more than a pump. You know, this was an idea that was put forward by Rudolf Steiner many years ago, but laughed at, you know, in the face of, you know, materialist, reductionist scientific Western medicine, but it turns out that the truth of the matter is the heart is more than just a pump. And 60%, 60 to 65% of every single person on this planet, their heart, the whole pericardial sac and the heart itself, 60 to 65% of the cells in that whole part of your body are neurons. And they're directly connected to the neurons in your brain through long axons and dendrites, just the way you would imagine neural connections forming. But the HeartMath Institute is just leading the charge into this new field of neurocardiology and a recognition that the heart has a whole lot more to do with the functioning of our system than just pumping blood. It's about the most potent endocrine organ that we have in the body. The heart is a gland that secretes hormones and all kinds of different chemicals, including neurotransmitters. And much of this has been either unknown or unspoken about for quite some time. So anyway, the people at HeartMath in Boulder Valley, California, doing great work. And of course, Joseph Chilton Pierce, you know, one of the leaders in this whole thing, who's now close to 85 years old and someone who's been on this program two or three times at least, and someone I consider a friend of mine. But he's written extensively on this subject, and you might consider picking up a book from Joseph Chilton Pierce. He's just, you know, a remarkable person who's been waving this flag for, you know, 50 or 60 years now. So anyway, you know, I digress. We'll have Star Newland at the top of the hour at midnight, okay? And the show will primarily focus on children. So we'll do one for the little ones tonight and music to go with that. Star in just a bit, top of the hour. And if you want to get a head start on the web, www.planetpuna.com, P-L-A-N-E-T-P-U-N-A, planetpuna.com. And music tonight by the Asylum Street Spankers. Great stuff, actually, from Austin, Texas, or thereabouts. Insanity, certainly. An amazing group of musicians. They play lots of clever and fun stuff, and tonight we'll check them out. The Asylum Street Spankers. We started off with a song called, of course, Boogers, and we'll hear more from them in just a minute, actually. What else? Yeah, music. You can always find information about the music and the musicians that I feature on the program here on the website at MikeHagan.com and the music archives. All right? And we'll have a fun show, so stick around. Let's see, one more from the band, all right? The Asylum Street Spankers. We'll come back, we'll do space weather, talk about some upcoming guests, we'll get a look at the news. Star at the top of the hour. We'll do it up, okay? It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And this is the Asylum Street Spankers. What song do I want to play? I think we'll play the first track on the CD. Once again, the band Asylum Street Spankers. This music that you'll be hearing tonight is featured primarily from a CD that's called Mommy Says No. Let's listen to that one, actually. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN, Columbia.
Mommy says,
Mommy says no. The Asylum Street Spankers, you listen to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan, and it's a pleasure to be with you all tonight. KOPN now podcasts all of our local talk shows on the web. If you missed a program or you want to enjoy listening to a variety of shows at your leisure, log on to KOPN.org and click on podcasts. KOPN's local talk programs give voice to the Mid-Missouri community on a rich variety of subjects from our own backyard to the world beyond. So, on the web, okay, podcasting, KOPN.org. And this show is included among them. And a whole bunch of other really good ones. The programming committee here at the station is sort of fishing for information and ideas from some of the people that are on the air. And I had something in my mailbox the other day about, asking a couple of questions from the programming committee. And one of the questions they ask is, what good programming have you heard on KOPN lately? What do you like that's on the air these days? And I could have gone on and on because I listed like four or five shows, but then later after I turned the thing in, I thought, oh, man, I forgot to mention Kevin's show, and I forgot to mention this one or whatever. But there's a lot of great programming here on KOPN, and some of those are talk shows. Mark Heim does a real good talk show on Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, called Evening Edition. Talks about national and international, subjects, and always has, interesting and provocative guests, and lets the phones ring and takes calls on the air and all that stuff. And of course, Corey's program before this one, but there's a show on Saturday afternoons, the Motherland Jam, amazing music from the continent of Africa, Morgan Matsiga, amazing guy, and just a total wizard when it comes to music from the continent of Africa. Doesn't matter where, he knows it all and is familiar with all this stuff and plays just an amazing selections of music from Africa on Saturday afternoons. The Radio Ranger on Sunday. My friend Chris is here in the studio with me, and he said, you got to tell a story about Alex and about the music that he listens to. And he's talking about my son, Alistair, who's four years old. And he loves the Radio Ranger. And Sundays at noon, man, if I don't have the radio on to hear the Radio Ranger on the air, man, if I don't get it, I'm in trouble. He's got to hear it, And we have a great time listening to Steve, who does this amazing program called Rootin' Tootin' Radio, Sunday afternoons from noon until 3 p.m. Great music, and also lots of interesting information about Missouri and this part of the country, trees and critters and you name it. But just a remarkable show on Sunday afternoons called Rootin' Tootin' Radio with the Radio Ranger. And, of course, I could go on and on. But grab a grid, as we call them. It's sort of the Rosetta Stone to working your way around KOPN. And it's up there on the web as well, on the website, kopn.org. But if you look at the programming schedule, you'll be able to see what's on at any given time during any given day of the week. And there's lots and lots of different things, and something for everyone for sure. And it's just a matter of sort of finding out where your favorites might lie in that schedule. And it's, sort of a challenge, but, it's sort of fun as well because you get to listen to all this amazing stuff in the meantime. So anyway, it's a pleasure to be here at KOPN, a legend here in Mid-Missouri. Been around now, 35, 36 years now in, community radio is where it's at, whether you think it is or not. But this is amazing stuff that's happening here, and there are very few of us left in the country. I think 30-some, the last I heard, which was maybe a year or two ago. But anyway, KOPN, certainly one of the oldest and, one of the most, obviously one of the strongest because we've been here so long. And, It is a pleasure and a privilege to be involved with the station and all the people that that help make the thing happen. And the thing is amazing because the station sort of has a life of its own. You know, I whether we're here or not, I mean, people show up at the right time and take people's places, and it's happened like that for going on four decades. And so, you know, we don't take ourselves that seriously here, and I think that's probably one of the things that helps, because the station is, you know, of its own regard, and we're just sort of participating and playing along with. But you know, it's gonna continue whether we're here or not, I think. And I think that's a great thing for Mid-Missouri, because KOPN's a beacon for sure. And I'm not the only one saying that, trust me. If you read my email, I get a whole lot of that type of talk from people that listen to the show. So, at any rate, thanks to all of you for listening. And once again, thanks to KOPN and all the people that are involved here at the station that make it happen, all right? Also, on the web, you know, that takes a lot of effort, too. So there are people that are involved in all that stuff that we didn't have, you know, a year and a half ago, and we got it now. So thanks again to everybody for making that stuff happen. Okay? All right. Let's see. Hello, everybody listening on the web or over the traditional airwaves. Live or otherwise, every Monday we broadcast the show from the wonderful studios here at KOPN, lovely downtown Columbia, Missouri, cold as it may be. And we stream the show on the web, kopn.org. Just click on, take a click on the Listen Live button. You'll get a nice 64K stream. And while we're talking about the web, I'd like to thank my web wizard, Larry Noriger, the wonderful web wizard Larry out there in Hawaii. Speaking of Hawaii, we'll be having Star on the air with us in just a bit here from the Big Island, and Larry lives on Maui these days. And anyway, thanks to Larry for doing what you do to keep my website up and sharp. It's amazing, and I appreciate everything you do for me, okay? You know, there are lots of people also that send art and music and, well, art in all kinds of different forms, I should say, and I appreciate all that stuff, and we look for places to put it up on the web all the time. So if you're an artist of any variety, get in touch with me. It's easy, and we'll figure out a way to share your art with other people. Find a place for it on the website and make it available for other people to see, okay? If you're interested, do that. Send me an email. My address is orbitradio, O-R-B-I-T-R-A-D-I-O, orbitradio@AOL.com, and the website, www.mikehagan.com. Take a look, see over there, and you'll have access to everything that I'm doing, and share your thoughts, okay? There is a forum bulletin board that is always busy, interesting topics being discussed and debated and talked about. Great stuff, actually, this afternoon up there in the forum. The live chat is always up and active during the program, as it is tonight. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Last week was unbelievable. The people in the chat room were just put me into a hysterical fit, because when I was talking to Patty Taylor, you know, it was sort of a graphic conversation that we were having. You know, we were talking about sex and tantra and expanded orgasm and all this stuff. So I was having a hard enough time keeping it together as it was, you know, with her and the language that she was using. And then I go look in the chat room, and all of you people over there are just, you know, having a riot, and I couldn't take it. I was laughing so hard that I had to just pull the mic. You know, I had to pull my volume level down I had to keep it down for the most part, and every so often I would just slide my mic back up and say, uh-huh, yes, I understand. And then, like, pull it back down because I would be laughing out loud. Not that the conversation wasn't interesting. It was just that the combination, I think I get I laugh when I'm nervous, too. It's one of the things that I do. It's just, you know, one of my things. But I tend to laugh when I get nervous. And I was obviously a little bit nervous last week when I was talking with her. I didn't know what we were going to get. No pun intended. But anyway, she was outrageous, and it was a blast. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go download the program from last week, Dr. Patty Taylor, on the web at expandedlovemaking.com. And listen to the interview that we did last week. It was a riot, and those people in the chat room did not help me one bit. So, anyway, hopefully tonight I won't have to be so careful about what's happening on the air. All right, my email address, once again, orbitradioaol.com. Send email to me, send email to my guests, send email to the musicians that appear on the program. Everybody likes to hear from you, okay? The phone number here in the studio, 573-874-5676, 1-800-895-5676. That's in the state of Missouri. If you want to call during a break, those are the numbers. If we take calls with Star later on, it will be 573-443-8255 if you want to call us. And I'll give that number out again later if we decide to take some calls, all right? Okay. What's coming up on the show? Tonight, as I mentioned 15 times or so now, Star Newland at the top of the hour here, midnight. The 28th, next week, Russell Means will talk about the Lakota and what's happening in Pine Ridge and elsewhere in Lakota country with the story that, broke at the end of December and is still percolating out there. And like I said last week, I'm not going to comment too much on it until we just get Russell on the air. I mean, I don't know what's happening, but Russell Means is the main man who's behind whatever's happening, and we'll find out. I mean, the story is that, you know, the Lakota have essentially decided that they're no longer going to honor any of the treaties that were signed with the U.S. government over the last 150, 160 years, and essentially reassert their sovereignty as a sovereign nation within the continental United States. And again, there's a tremendous amount of controversy about it. It's interesting that the mainstream media has nothing to say about this, but it's actually quite big news because the sixth, Article 6 of the Constitution is what's being invoked here, and you can't run away from it. I mean, it's a part of our, the law of the land. So a very interesting conversation. We'll have 2 hours, maybe the whole program, with Russell Means, one of the elders of the Lakota Nation, and on the program with us next week on the 28th of January. And this is very important to me as an individual. You know, for those of you who listen to the program, you know that I have some of this Lakota heritage of my own ancestry, and many of the people who I consider my guides and my teachers and my friends and my grandfathers are Lakota people. I send my heart out to every one of them, and they're real close to me and people who have been family to me and have taught me much, many things that I think are important. At least they have been to me. So anyway, for me, it's an interesting story and one that I think has bigger implications than people might assume. So we'll get the skinny from Russell Means next week. We'll talk about what's happening in Lakota country, okay? All right. On the 4th of February, Dr. Boyd Graves will talk about AIDS and HIV. You can have some great spoken word / hip-hop music that night as well. On the 11th of February, Brooke Medicine Eagle, wonderful woman, healer, great herbalist, and someone who I was introduced to through Stephen Herod Buhner. She wrote the foreword to Sacred Plant Medicine, one of Stephen's books. And, again, if you listen to this program, you know how I feel about Stephen Buhner. He's absolutely, fantastic. And Brooke Medicine Eagle is as well. And she lives in Montana on a homestead there and, raises her plants and animals and makes medicine. And she's a powerful woman and with a great story. And so we'll talk with Brooke Medicine Eagle on the 11th of February and have some great music from a young man that I met tonight at the bar before I came down here. Actually, his name's Chase. I don't know anything else about him, but He was sitting on the stage, and I heard three or four of his songs, just him and a guitar, and I was real impressed by him. So anyway, I talked to him after the show, and I'll try to set something up with him between now and then, but Brook Medicine Eagle, and hopefully some real good music along with that program on the 11th of February, okay? On the 25th, we'll have Richard Allen Miller back. Everybody loves Richard when he's on the program, and we're going to talk about magic and alchemy, on the 25th of February with Richard Allen Miller. Graham Hancock, I'm working to get Graham back on the program. David Abram, the author of Spell of the Sensuous, fantastic book. Glenn Kimball, who knows who else? Lots more in the wing. So we'll do it as we move along into 2008, and I'm pleased to be able to continue along with y'all, okay? All right. What should we do here? I got a couple of announcements. Maybe we'll do that. We'll talk about a couple of important people, and then we'll do a piece of music, come back, do a little space weather and stuff, and then we'll have Star at the top of the hour, okay? All right, Edgar Allan Poe, the American poet, short story writer, literary critic, and a mystic as well. Poe is remembered for the most part for his writing and for his short stories and, you know, his macabre sense of humor and this sort of thing. But he was actually quite interested in cosmology, too. And he wrote a tremendous amount of material about the way he thought that the world and the universe worked. And if you're interested in that sort of stuff, check out Poe on the web. Do a search for, you know, his name, Edgar Allan Poe, and then maybe the word cosmology, and you'll find out a whole lot more about Edgar Allan Poe than you ever imagined. But at any rate, he was one of the earliest practitioners of the short story in American literature, and detective fiction, and he actually was one of the first writers in America to actually attempt to earn a living through writing alone. And it wasn't that easy for him, but that's what he attempted to do. Wrote some amazing stuff over his career. He's one of my wife's ancestors. Ashley is part of the Poe line on her father's side, a couple times removed, but her great-great-great-uncle, I want to say, was Edgar Allan Poe. And we were actually with the Poe family in Kentucky for the family reunion last July. And I tell you, it's still a very interesting bunch. Anyway, I love the whole thing. It's great. You know, there's a wonderful story about Edgar Allan Poe that is told every year, actually, about this time. He was born on the 19th of January in 1809, so a couple of days ago would have been his birthday. But he is buried, in a grave in a particular cemetery that is visited every year by someone, some unknown character that places three red roses and a half-filled bottle of cognac at his gravesite before sneaking away into the darkness. And once again, this happened. It takes place every year on January 19th, the anniversary of Edgar Allan Poe's birth, and it's been going on since at least 1949. But once again, a couple days ago, undeterred by controversy, the mysterious visitor paid his annual tribute to the grave of Edgar Allan Poe. And I'm glad he did. I think it's pretty cool. All right, who else do we want to talk about? Anyway, here's to you. Great, 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 great Uncle Poe. How about you? Peter Tompkins. The anniversary of Peter Tompkins' death just under a year ago. On the 24th of January, 2007, Peter Tompkins was an American writer, journalist, author, and a spy, actually, in World War II. He wrote some amazing books, although some people dispute, the value of what he contributed to science and agriculture and this sort of stuff. For me, he's certainly somebody who I appreciated a whole lot. Secrets of the Soil, The Secret Life of Plants, the eunuch and the virgin, secrets of the Great Pyramid. He was quite a remarkable man, and Peter Tompkins passed away just about a year ago, on the 24th of January last year. Was born in 1919, and let me read you something real quick that's from a website that he was maintaining up until his death. And he calls it a column, but listen to this. He says, "This column may serve as a visiting card to reveal a little of who I am while still around to kick against the pricks. 25 years old at the end of World War II, with 3 years as a war correspondent and 3 as an intelligence officer, it was clear to me, as it should have been to the generals, that war was not the answer. Subtly, I was guided to what I was supposed to be doing with this particular life on this particular planet by a charming Rhinelander, remarkable teacher of hermetic wisdom, the Mozartian filmmaker Ludwig Berger. Ludwig Berger, director of the first screenplay by Bernard Shaw, Pygmalion in Dutch. Authentic and indefatigable researcher into the great Shakespearean mystery, he was also author of a book with a hermetically Bardian title, We Are Such Stuff as Dreams Are Made On." So that's the kind of stuff that Peter Tompkins was about, and he had more to say of value to me with regard to plants than I think anyone since, well, before Stephen Buhner. And Stephen credits, Peter, as many people involved in the plant world are, with, turning them on to, what was really happening out there in the plant kingdom. And there's much that, was not particularly accurate, perhaps, in 1970 when he wrote this, that, and the other thing. But, that's not always the most important thing. The ideas that are put forward alone in some of these books are so opening to the mind that you can afford to have a little bit of literary license mixed in with the stuff, because it'll lead you on your way to something bigger and better. And of course, Stephen Buhner is someone who writes about plants about as well as anybody on the planet right now. And before him, Peter Tompkins. So anyway, here's to you, Pete. Wonderful stuff. Once again, just about a year ago, on the 24th of January, 2007. All right, Martin Luther King Jr. We've been hearing lots of stuff about MLK all day, as we should. On the 15th of January, 1929, Martin Luther King Jr. born. Of course, one of the most prominent figures in the American Civil Rights Movement, and someone who should not be forgotten. And his thoughts on Vietnam that I've heard so much about today are so, relevant and so just spot on, even though it's 30 years hence and going on 40, I guess. The parallels between what's happening now in Iraq and other places around the world are, very similar to what was happening back then in Vietnam. Essentially, the world hasn't changed a whole lot. The modus operandi of the powers that be, and not just in this country, but around the planet, have pretty much been, the same. And, it's masked and made over with, L'Oreal or whatever, but bottom line is, it's still might makes right, and, speak softly and carry a big stick. And or speak loudly and carry a big stick, carry a big stick one way or the other. But, as old Heraclitus used to say, Ponte rei, all flows, nothing lasts. And that's the truth of the matter. Nothing lasts. Not empires, not philosophies, not ideologies, not your life, not your ideals, not your illusions, not your delusions, your hopes, your fears, your children. Nothing lasts. It's cause for exaltation, and it's cause for despair at the same time. But when it comes to things like, global fascism, it's good that all things pass and that nothing lasts, because these things may not go on forever as well. We can only hope and do our best in the middle of it, okay? All right, also, one last thing. My good friend, Kent Stedman, speaking of bards, the bard himself, his birthday, the 17th of January, 1942. 66 years young, just a couple days ago. Here's to you, my friend. And I love you so much, Bardo. Thank you for everything that, that you've done for me as well. Here's to you. All right, Aho, let's play a piece of music, and we'll come back and do space weather. And then we'll have Star Newland with us at the top of the hour. This is the Asylum Street Spankers. And great song here called You Only Love Me For My Lunchbox. It's Mike, you're listening to KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, Radio Orbit.
From a lunchbox, baby. You only love me 'cause you only love me from a lunchbox, baby. 'Cause it's the coolest one in school. Now all the other kids are standing in line 'cause they ain't never seen a lunchbox so fine, and everything inside it tastes so divine. You only love me for my lunch box, baby. For my lunch box, baby. For my lunch box, baby. For my lunch box,
say cheese.
Yeah.
Say cheese.
Cheese.
Say bologna.
Bologna.
Hey, why is bologna spelled bologna?
Say bologna.
Bologna.
Is there anything sweet in there?
Sure, we got sugar-coated chocolate-covered pizza pickle bites.
Did you just say sugar-coated chocolate-covered pizza pickle bites?
Yeah, sugar-coated chocolate-covered pizza pickle bites.
There's no such thing as sugar-coated chocolate-covered pizza pickle bites.
There could be. Say sugar-coated chocolate-covered pizza pickle bites.
Sugar-coated chocolate-covered pizza pickle bites.
That's pretty good. Say rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Say a box of biscuits, a box of mixed biscuits, and a biscuit mixer.
A box of biscuits, a box of mixed biscuits, and a biscuit mixer.
All right, say, I am a pleasant pheasant plucker. I pluck mother pheasants. I'm the most pleasant pheasant plucker to ever pluck a mother pheasant. Okay, maybe not.
Hey, what's on this lunchbox anyway?
Why, the spankers, of course.
What's on the thermos?
The thermos?
Yeah, what's on the thermos?
That man on the skateboard runs Timmy in the sky. Teletubbies playing poker with that space gold sky. Pop girls on the planet of the apes. Aquaman going down the drain with strawberry shortcake. Bobby takes a ride on my little pony. The entire cast of the Sopranos except for Tony. Bonnie looking dizzy like he's gonna throw up. But SpongeBob is ready to soak it all up now. You only love me for my lunchbox, baby. You only love me 'cause you rules. You
box, baby. Cause it's the coolest one at school. Yeah. Now all the other kids are standing in line, cause they ain't never seen a lunchbox so fine. And everything inside it tastes so divine. You only love me. You only love me. You only love me for my lunch.
They love me for my lunchbox, baby. The Asylum Street Spankers, good stuff. You're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name's Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit. That's one of my kid Alex's favorite bands these days. He's listening to, the Asylum Street Spankers. He's listening to the Black Crows. He's listening to Marcy Playground, right? What else did I tell you, Chris? The Hootenhowers, local music. Just released a new CD. They've been on the program before, but he loves the Hootenhowers. He loves the song called 40 Ounces to Memphis. He's only four. He doesn't really know what it means, but anyway, I like it too. Okay, we're working out the logistics with Star because we're going to do our jump at midnight that we did last year right around this time, the 1-2-3 jump, and we're going to do that right at midnight. So I'm going to talk a little bit here about space weather. We'll take another short break in just a few minutes, and then right before the top of the hour, we'll come back with Star and we'll jump into a new world with her. Okay? Space weather. The sun is quiet. Mercury, though, has some interesting news. Last week, there was an historic flyby of Mercury by the Messenger spacecraft. This is a NASA mission, gathered a whole bunch of data and a whole bunch of photos covering, well, a big chunk of the surface of Mercury and unseen terrain. So hopefully we'll get to see some of this stuff from the planet Mercury, very current and new data acquired by Messenger in just the last few days here, okay? The clouds here in mid-Missouri will sort of mess you up tonight, but if you're in a place where it's clear, the comet, P17 Holmes, that we've been talking about for months now, since October, is now passing directly in front of the variable star Algol. And if the moon may cause a little bit of trouble if you got clear skies because you're basically full moon tonight. But for photographers, astrophotographers with clear skies, you'll definitely get a good shot of Comet 17P Holmes passing right in front of the star Algol. They'll converge tonight, actually, and it'll be an interesting sight. Algol will be shining through the thickest parts of the comet's tail and atmosphere, but there should be some great photo opportunities with that whole thing going on, all right? What else happening up there? Cassini, is a orbiter of Saturn and right now doing a flyby of the moon Titan. Titan's a very interesting moon of Saturn. We had some real wild stuff came back from Cassini a year and a half ago or so with regard to the atmosphere and the surface of the moon Titan, including water there and oxygen. Mercury, speaking of Mercury, is at what we call its greatest eastern elongation in the next couple days. That means it's as far away from the sun, as far away from the Earth as it gets on the opposite side of the sun. The asteroid 9007 James Bond has its closest approach to Earth in a couple days, and the asteroid 13070 Sean Connery on the 24th has its closest approach to Earth. Now, don't ask me how they name these things, but, I mean, that's the truth. I didn't make that up. There's two asteroids. One's called James Bond, and the other one's Sean Connery. And they're both cruising by in the next couple of days. Also, the 40th anniversary of Apollo 5, 1968. That is on the 22nd of January, coming up in just 5 minutes or so. And the 30th anniversary on the 26th of January of the IUE launch, actually. That's the European Union probe from 1978. So anyway, lots going up there going on up there in the skies above your heads as always. So take a look up when you go out there. Okay, it's always worth it. Now we're gonna play another quick one from the Asylum Street Spankers, and then we'll come back with Star Newland right before the top of the hour here at midnight. All right, that's Mike Lewis Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And this one is, what should we play? How about Super Frog? How long is that? Oh, I think that's a little too long. This one's called Be Like You. It's Mike, you listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. This is the Asylum Street Spankers.
You
WKOPN Columbia. That's the Asylum Street Spankers. You're listening to it here on Radio Orbit. It's Mike Hagan, and it's about 1 minute before the hour of midnight. Just about to roll over from the 21st to the 22nd of January. So I'm going to quick get my good friend Star Newland on the horn with me here and say hello. Star's been on the program many, many times. If you want to hear about her, go look at some of the archives. But before we run out of time, hello, Star. Aloha.
Aloha, Michael. Aloha, audience. Aloha.
How are you?
And somewhere in the world, I'm fabulous, Michael. I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Well, somewhere in the world, it's about to be January 23rd.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, jump. So on this January 23rd, somewhere in the world, right as we hit midnight.
Here it goes. We have 10 seconds, Star.
Our audience to jump with us right now into the new and improved new world, and certainly to join us on our Pod Home project.
Here we go.
And there are pieces on Planet Puna to look at when you get a chance to. One, two, three, jump into the pod world. Yay.
All right.
Jump into the pod world.
We have done it. It's Pod Project 2008. So we are on it now.
Yes.
And
we're on it now. Hooray.
All right. So now I have a chance to actually say hello and take a breath and let people know a little bit more about you. Star Newland, if you are unfamiliar with her, she is the associate of another gentleman who's been on the program. They've been on the show together and sometimes individually as well. Star, of course, works with Dr. Michael Heisen in Hawaii. They have all kinds of different projects that they work on individually and together. If you're interested in the work, it can be found on the web at Planet Puna, PlanetPuna, planetpuna.com. Tonight we will have Star by her lonesome, and so we get to have her all to ourselves for the next couple hours, and we have plenty of things to talk about with her. And first things first, I guess, the Pod Project.
The Pod Project. Well,
what is it for people who are unfamiliar?
Well, for people whom this is new, unfamiliar being an odd word, Michael.
I was trying. I didn't say not. I said unfamiliar.
I right.
I can't. Okay, we'll all right. So for people who...
Yeah, we'll talk about...
To whom this material is new.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Well, the Pod Project is something that I have been working on and developing over a number of years through the Sirius Institute, which I am the founding partner of, and Dr. Heisen is a research director,
mm-hmm.
and principal benefactor, too, I might add, to further communicate what it's like and to explore what it's like if we were to live more on pod, the way dolphins and whales do. And so we have a link on Planet Puna, one that Michael did, one that Laura did, and we're describing the whole idea of living in harmony, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
We're describing what it's like to be part of something that's good and bigger, and that's there for you. We're describing what it's like when we open our hearts and get to know people more closely and better. We find all kinds of neat talents and funds and gifts together. We're finding out what it's like when we actually let our children say what they truly want, like they'd rather be home educated than we should let them be home educated and help create life around our life and the children first and see what comes together through that, you know. And times are changing, you know. We see a very immense sea change upon us, and we feel that pod living and, you know, getting along with each other and being sustainable in many different ways is a way that will help us better adjust and adapt and even have ultimately a better lifestyle, and certainly better for the planet by doing this. So, and for fun, of course, always for fun.
Is there a plan for sort of a first go at it? In other words, you know, an actual community that will actually employ these ideas?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm right now in Captain Cook at Lindy's Pod Home, and she just put up her first MySpace the other day, and we're getting pictures put on it and information and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're documenting the birth of the Pod Project here in Kona, or Captain Cook, rather. Lindy has a number of friends and neighbors immediately, like, on the same land.
Who's Lindy?
Lindy's our pod mom. She's a young lady I met over 10 years ago when she was pregnant with her first child, Ina. And just about the first word they said to her, "Hum, you're pregnant. Would you like to know how to give birth with the dolphins or something along those lines?
Cool.
How would you like to give birth with the dolphins with us?" So she said, "Yes, I came to Hawaii to be with the dolphins," which she did. And then she found me pretty quickly thereafter, too, with her partner, Sean. So we have our pod home together here where we're just, I sent you a picture from my cell phone a little while ago.
I saw it.
Put up on your website, right, of the dolphin mural that came together today with one of our friends, Andre, who came over for the first time.
A mural.
And she, yeah, a dolphin mural.
Uh-huh.
Just like, boom, because it was time to, because we have some exciting filming coming up, which I'll tell you about in a moment.
Okay.
And so Andre taught us how to do a mural and how to paint dolphins, and we painted the wall together, Lindy and I and Andre and the children, and just had the best time, and now we're doing dolphins and seaweed and stuff like that, and this is one of our pod projects, for example.
All right, now how will dolphins be involved in this project?
Well, we're using dolphins as a model of how they live in community with each other, which is different than living in communes. This is completely other thinking, really novel.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can be part of each other's life at a distance, even, you know, through technology, through the internet, and creating, like, pod product to share with each other. So pretty soon, as I can download the pictures and send them over and figure out how to work the digital video camera, we'll have pot product to share with people, to show them, wow, these are the steps we took. We had so much fun this day when our friend Andre came over and helped us paint the mural. And then, you know, and then Lindy is a massage therapist, so Andre's gifting us to help with the mural, and we're gifting Lindy's massage to her.
There you go.
So we work on the gifting principles that we really want to give to each other, because that feels the yummiest.
Well, you know,
and it does.
Yeah, no doubt. I was talking before we got together on the air here about some of the Greek stories of dolphins, and Michael likes to talk about Aristotle and Socrates and how they the dolphin was actually a large part of their culture in a way.
Right, revered.
Yes,
like the most perfect form of all.
Right. And shared sacrament with them and all kinds of wild things. So I was wondering if, and other people, one of the things that that I get in email, oftentimes when you come on the air and talk with me, or Michael, or both of you, I get emails about people that want to participate in a way similar to those old stories with the dolphins. You're speaking about the pod project, and people are asking, yeah, I want a pod project with the dolphins involved, you know, where we're not just using their, you know, taking our cues from things that they do, but actually cooperatively living among them and them among us.
Well, you know, with the Cetacean Commonwealth, which came through for Earth Day in Los Angeles in 2002,
mm-hmm.
We have continued to address that part of it in terms of establishing, for want of a better word, embassies at the water's edge in different parts and places throughout the world, so that there are free association areas for the dolphins and the whales that come to those locations, come to meet the humans, and the humans who go there to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
I was just out in the water today, and the dolphins were there. I got there kind of late, but the dolphins were there. And I went out, and, you know, they came around, and I was just swimming kind of close because my flippers were on base. And I just was aware that I'm just out here, and if they want to come visit with me, then that's fine. Otherwise, I'm just out here because I want to be in the water. And there are places, like, where they have some barricades there, by where the earthquake knocked the cliff down last a couple of years ago. And the dolphins go in there because that's a zero human zone. It's like a keep out zone.
Mm-hmm.
But the dolphins can go in, of course. So to establish bases along the shore like that, and occasional even inland facilities, because some dolphins want to travel inland. They just seem to also want to be part of, you know, an exchange program with humans or ambassadors or something like that. So once we establish the kind of communications that the Sirius Institute is working towards, then they could tell us what they want, and then we could say, sure, you got it. You know? So in the meantime, we're doing our utmost to be respectful and thoughtful and to acknowledge the fact that, well, these are conscious sentient beings, and I've seen them stay away from humans. I've seen them kind of like, you know, have the humans go on their daily exercise, swimming across the bay back and forth, which they like to do. They like to play with us in that way, but they definitely have times when they want to engage the people big time.
Would you talk?
We won't tell if that happens.
Oh, okay, two things. First of all, the Cetacea Commonwealth, there's a link to that pronouncement, that paper that's on my website on the front page for people that, if they'd like, they can read that and download it and take a look at it. It's very interesting, actually. The language, even, it is very interesting. But also,
yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, you, of course, with you involved, you did a wonderful job of sculpting that language. But also, I'd like, if you would, to talk about this idea of roles of ambassadors a little bit further, because I've heard lots of stories, not only from you and Michael, but also from other people involved, actually with orcas, was my other friend who works with orcas, and...
You have a friend who works with orcas, too. That was one of my first loves.
Yes, it was another Michael, by the way. And I believe it or not, his last name escapes me right now, but he's actually done some brief reporting here at KOPN for one of our news shows here at the radio station. Mm-hmm. At any rate, the stories that I've read and that are related by people like you is that oftentimes these animals will sort of succumb under their own volition. I mean, an orca whale could cause a whole lot of trouble for a few scuba divers if it wanted to. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so it seems that there is, it seems that they come willingly. Could you talk about that a little bit and about what might be going on, this idea of ambassadors or something?
Well, actually, I kind of like, some of them are like sociologist dolphins. Some of them are like artist dolphins, sort of like musician dolphins.
In other words, yeah, so we need to think just more like we think of our own selves. As,
yeah, like,
you know,
if,
dolphins
we, if
that
there were a so-called alien culture or extraterrestrial culture, which they are considered to be, and wanting to learn about, you know, who else is around that we need to be aware of or just find out who's out there,
right.
Certainly they would send what we would call something like a sociologist dolphin in amongst the people to, like, you know, get in touch with them and read their, you know, read their essence, whatever. Actually, we should talk about that a little bit later, too, about how it is that dolphins are actually so telepathic and stuff.
Hmm, all right.
That relates to the Pod Project and the heart math and everything else that we're working on now, too. But it would make sense that they would send someone over to see us, as I mentioned, and study us and report back to the source, to their group mind, and say, wow, we notice there's a lot of sadness, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of anger with humans, and we understand that this is why, so how can we, like, maybe help remedy that?
Mm-hmm.
So they reach out to all the dolphin and whale people that I know, for example, and give us ideas and inspirations that fit in with our inclinations, and we help do something about it.
Man, that's amazing, you know, because, and we're going to go off on a short tangent here, but you just said something that struck me so hard, because that's what plants do for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In other words, it's the exact same thing. I get ideas and advice, guidance, help in many ways, you know, from plants, primarily because there are zero dolphins here in mid-Missouri.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I would use plants and dolphins. In other words, you know, use what's available. But I think the point I'm trying to get across is that perhaps there is intelligence and understanding and empathy and compassion that's abundant out there in many different forms and species. And if you can find a way to tap into it, regardless of the species, it can be a great benefit. I mean, you're doing it with the dolphins, obviously.
Oh, yeah. And other things, too. Just dolphins are our focus for now. But
right, right. Oh, I realize
connected
that. Yeah,
with
yeah.
nature and life and mm-hmm. the ocean and planting banana trees and stuff. I mean, it's all why we're here is to be connected and bonded to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Pod Project is about also. It's helping people to feel connected and part of something that's wonderful, life, which can be pretty wonderful. And even it takes just some kinds of gentle tweaks in certain directions, some kind of permission to be more of what you really came to be, to follow that part of your dream, see who you are in the bigger scheme of things. You know, this is a time, the jump we do now is a time for us to really step into a bigger sense of who we really are and to take off those costumes in a way that our souls take on and to shed that the suffering and the torment and all the pain and the horrible things we've been through. It's like, okay, we're there or we've done it, but let's start looking for the light now more in ourselves and connecting with each other and letting that connection find itself.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be amazed at how much love there is for us in the world and how much love the earth has for us especially.
Wow. Well, would you talk a little bit, this is the second year that we've done 1-2-3 Jump.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
So what do you think about how we, about the last year? I've been asking everyone that's been on the program over the last few weeks, because it is 2008 now, and
uh-huh.
and you know, a new year and lots of things moving quicker and quicker, it seems like, all the time. What do you make?
Yeah, we're going to run out of time pretty soon.
That's what they say, huh?
Right. Then we'll have all kinds of
good,
time.
Then we'll have plenty of time
of
again.
Finally.
Well, what's your feel for the last year and how we did? How'd you do? How, you know, what do you, you know, just what's your general sense of things after 2007?
Well, last year was our 1-2-3 jump into like a parallel world that was much more like the way we wanted it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I found a lot of that taking place. I found a lot of things opening, a lot of progressions made in areas that we've been involved with for a long time, whether it's interspecies communications or the Birth Project or working with the Navy or Domestic Harmony. I mean, Michael C. Project with the Resonance Project, all these things that we've been working on have been moved forward quite considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And we've met lots more fascinating, interesting, amazing people. We've documented and have lots more footage of our own work and our own projects with Michael Kastenbaum, our video partner. We were invited to Russia. I'm invited to a conference in Australia next summer down there, August, September, I guess, winter, to present the Pod Project to a conference group and to document it and then distribute it across the world.
Awesome.
And Albany, Australia is the place where they stopped whaling. In Australia, that was the last place they whaled, and the people putting the conference together stopped the whaling there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're coming full circle. It's been a time of completion and a lot of just coming full circle with things. And of course, my granddaughter and son and daughter-in-law are fine and fabulous. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just happier and more buoyant. So a lot of stuff got cleared out internally for me, and things seem to be generally better for people around me.
Okay. And you're on the Big Island right now still?
Yeah, Captain Cook, just overlooking Captain Cook Monument.
Huh.
Captain Cook Bay, Kealakekua Bay.
Who was Captain Cook?
Oh, he was a British captain who came over here and met up with the Hawaiians for the first time.
Oh, gosh.
In British times. And then he got in a fight with them, or something went awry, let's say. And they wound up taking his life on the beach, and so they have the Captain Cook monuments there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the dolphins like to hang out by that monument for some reason.
All right.
People kayak. It's a beautiful bay. people all over the world thought when they showed footage of the earthquake that hit the Big Island October 15th, 2 years ago, because a big size fell down off that cliff there.
Mm-hmm. That was the same place?
Uh-huh.
Oh, exactly. All right.
It was in the same bay, so the bay is pretty familiar to people.
All right. Okay, before we get too far away from it, you said you wanted to talk a little bit more about telepathy and how the dolphins and the cetaceans sense our essence.
Oh, well, yes. A few weeks ago, Michael called me to tell me that there were these wonderful people from the HeartMath Institute over at work there, and they had a great time with them, and it sounded like I needed to connect with them. So I got in touch with the lady, Dana, and invited her to meet up with me the next day. And so we hooked up, and then we had a great connection, went swimming. Long story short, she was giving a talk to the group a few days ago, a few evenings, and she was showing some pictures of the HeartMath work and the HeartMath research and what it shows about coherent states. And when people have a coherent heart state, it shows that their two coherent states line up with each other in some way. But it's like a tunnel for communications. It improves, like, communications with each other, of course, when you're in resonance with each other. But that explains what happens, too, like with our brainwave states and telepathy, when we start language sculpting our language. And what I see happen, and what I'm hoping to show with Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher and possibly HeartMath, is what happens to our brainwave states when we start sculpting, and when we start using zero, as in, you know, we're sure going to miss that plane, or we're sure going to get caught in traffic, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you use zero.
Right, and do our best to eliminate the use of the word
not
and no, and that sort of thing, right?
No, and not.
Mm-hmm.
And all the unwords like illegal and unconstitutional,
right,
and innocent, which means to not harm, things like that, not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to play with the system a little bit, just say zero guilty, or someone else did it, or whatever. But if you say not guilty, you're kind of like entrapping yourself with the language.
Right.
So I feel like this year is a year of, the jump we made too is just into a year of more truthfulness and transparency, because let's face it, the more telepathic we are, the harder it's going to be to get off with anything anymore.
Sure. I've made a comment oftentimes of late that it's getting harder and harder to keep secrets.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and...
hooray!
Yes, hooray. And I'm not one for... I'm 0-1 for secrets. I made a pledge a long time ago to zero keep any secrets, so I'm not the one to tell if you got a secret. So, hey, let me give HeartMath out here, because I mentioned them earlier before you were on the air, but I'm real familiar with those people there. Michael Mendez has been doing great work there for a long time, and of course Joe Pierce is involved with them, and your new friend, what's her name?
Dana?
Yes.
Dana Tomasino.
Uh-huh.
And her partner, Ray, and forgive me, I only got her last name. But yeah, there's, and also Dr. Rauscher is there too. Elizabeth Rauscher is there with them too. So, and Sheva Carr, who's part of our group for Russia, she's part of them too. So this is a nice energy and really brilliant work that these people have done and continue to do over 30 years.
Right, and they're in Boulder Valley, California, and they can be found on the web at heartmath.org. And that's one that I advise you to take a look at. They're very, very worthy people of your gaze for a few minutes, for sure. So, okay.
Yeah, for sure. And Dana's going to come over and visit with Lindy in our pod project tomorrow.
Wonderful.
And
so she's in Hawaii.
We're up to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's on holiday. She's been taking some time and doing some other work and connecting with the dolphins and figuring out part of what that dolphin heart thing is about.
Uh huh.
We all are, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, that's their thing. For people who are just hearing this for the first time, this link between the heart, the brain, emotions, communication, and literal cognitive function, the connection between these things is something that's being looked at in great detail there at the HeartMath Institute. And this is their primary focus, is the relationship between the heart and the mind and the brain. So anyway, this is wonderful stuff, Star.
Hello. At 8:23 p.m.
Hmm. Sorry, my dear.
And message to delete this message.
Yes.
Press main menu. To listen, you've pressed an incorrect key. You have one skipped message. You've pressed an incorrect key. You
I'm
going to
take a break, Star. I'll be back with you. Well, as always, you know, it couldn't be a show with Star Newland if we didn't have some sort of technical funniness with the telephone. So there it is, and we'll be back with her in just a few minutes. In the meanwhile, let's listen to a song from the Asylum Street Spankers, and I will let you know once again that Star Newland has a website. It is www.planetpuna.com. P-L-A-N-E-T-P-U-N-A, planetpuna.com, and she shares that it's the home of the Sirius Institute with Dr. Michael Heisen, doing wonderful work there on the Big Island of Hawaii. So we'll come back with Star Newland in just about 5 minutes or so here. In the meanwhile, a song called Super Frog. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, on the web, kopn.org. Back in just a few minutes.
If I could be a superhero, who would I be? There's so many to pick from. I could be anybody. But I think the tale that beats them all would be the one about the frog.
It's Super Frog!
I've got a cape blowing in the wind when I jump from place to place. I've got special eyeballs for underwater, just in case. Hopping over trees and bushes, I can swim and dive well too. My tongue is long and sticky, so I can eat bugs and kiss you. If it's a rainy day, it's okay, I still like to play. How about a game of Froak and Gribbit? We'd have so much fun. Can you dig it? You never gotta go too far. Super frog, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're hanging out on a lily pad or a bump on a log, and you need someone to play with, you can call on Super Frog. They make me strong and they happen to be green. I'm slick but I'm not slimy. I prefer to keep things clean. My day doesn't get too busy, just swimming in the sun. I can serenade a frogette or two. Life is so much fun. Super Frog, you never gotta go too far. super frog, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're hanging out on a lily pad or a bump on a log, and you need someone to play with, you can call on Super Frog.
Super Frog. Call on him. The Asylum Street Spankers. You're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. It's Radio Orbit. Monday nights from 11 o'clock until 2 a.m. We do it up every week. Tonight, no different. Let's see. The True False Film Festival is looking for volunteers to help bring the festivities to Columbia. If you're interested in helping with design, ticket taking, setup, tech, or breakdown, information is available at the volunteer link, truefalse.org. Or by email at volunteer@truefalse.org. All right, it is Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia. It's about 12:30 a.m. now on the 22nd of January, 2008. Well, the 22nd of January here in mid-Missouri. But if you zip around to the other side of the planet somewhere, it is the 23rd. And that's why we did our little 1-2-3 jump with my guest, Star Newland, who we had our typical... telephone. We have to have a telephone glitch with Star, or it's zero a program with her. We just can zero do a show without having some sort of a technical glitch, which we just had, and now we've got it resolved, and she's back with us. And so we'll say hello to the woman coming to us from the Aloha Planet, and say, Star, we were talking about the Heart Math Institute before our little impromptu break. And I'd like to continue there. Please talk more about the work that you're interested in doing with them, and how the Pod Project and the Dolphin work connects with HeartMath.
Well, originally when I first started tuning into like the Pod Project, the thoughts about what it was were that it was an island of stability, which means that in the midst of the district where I live, Pune, for example, but it applies anywhere in the world, you know, there are chaotic or there are stressful or difficult times, especially between the those who have less, let's say. So to be an island of stability means that you're a place where, you know, there's enough of resources, there are enough resources to take care of your own needs, and to also have extra to help take care of what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an island of sustainability as well, in terms of, you know, maybe food production or energy production or creativity in some way that brings in goods and resources by gifting. Again, I want to point out that we're developing a gifting consciousness about this, which I've had for years, and we're incorporating that in terms of how we really want to relate to each other. And we really like to give to each other. You know, my friends like to give this or that, or, you know, give a massage, and someone else wants to give some help with the floor, the children like that. But a gift is from the heart, and that's what makes what we're doing out of the ordinary, let's say, on an intentional basis, is that we're bringing new people into a situation. Like Lindy here has met all kinds of new people who are part of her pod now because she's opened up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to find out who new friends are and what things we can share. And what I like to say is, what part of the dream did we come here to do together now that we're finding each other and having ways to do this? And, you know, our pod home here is a coffee bungalow, let's say, and the coffee fields out in Hawaii. So, and kind of like real country, you know, with rural, feral chickens, rather, and roosters running around, have the windows shut lest they start going off. You know, and bananas growing and papayas and stuff, but it's just kind of like pretty rustic here.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can pull a pod home together in the middle of rustic, then what can people do in other places? And that's the question that we're asking people to explore Wednesday on the 23rd from 1 o'clock on our time, Hawaii time,
mm-hmm.
when this wonderful production team from Thalassa Television, French television, comes to film the Pod Project at work and at play and at fun.
Cool.
Really cool. And these are, like, again, new people, many of them, to Lindy's life, and certainly new kinds of relationships coming about because of this. Because now it's just on a whole different level. Like, everyone feels really good about the interaction. Mm-hmm. And they want to come back and have more. And so it just, you know, they say that familiarity breeds contempt. I think that's really wrong. Familiarity can really bring much affection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were steered astray. We were steered, you know, away from the true affection that is there between people when we let that happen.
How did you connect with this organization in Europe, in France?
Oh, actually, a wonderful lady, Joan Ocean. She's pretty well known in
London.
Sure. To be, of course, a guest on your show. And she's also connected with Dane of the Heart Math Lady, who did some work with her, too. And it's like, you know, we're all in it together, kind of, over here.
Well,
Joan Ocean, they came to Joan, and she recommended that you come to us.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting thing that you just said, though, the fact that we're all sort of in this together. Would you talk a little bit about how you see those sorts of things? In other words, I have a similar recognition of a coming together of sorts, of key people, and I mean in my own world, you know what I mean? And actually, it's weird because I would consider you and Michael among them, even though we're separated by many miles, you know?
But
somehow, because of the interconnectivity now, you know, the way we're able to communicate with one another through these new communications technologies and everything else, and soon telepathy perhaps, who knows?
Well, for real now.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what we're doing, for gosh sake, you know? But at any rate, I sense the same thing, and it's, you know, people from all different areas of endeavor sort of migrating towards certain places and people, and there seems to be like a neural net growing or something is actually what it reminds me of.
Yeah,
can you talk about it a little bit?
Well, you know, the Earth's heart and her grid are being restored by people who take the time and the effort to practice, you know, more loving thoughts, more loving actions, more prayer, more intention. That's part of why we're interested in working with HeartMath and would like them to want to work with us for the POD project so that we can help people's hearts flourish by doing more heartful things, more meaningful things in life, because things are changing in the outer world, and it's important for us to have Plan B underway and to have relationships with each other, because that is what will sustain us, and that is also what would help the Earth make the changes and transitions, whichever ones they might be, easier. So if we want to have, you know, less of a global climate change, let's say, maybe we could cool our tempers down, you know? We want more effective ozone layers. Maybe we could watch the sharp thoughts and the anger we're sending out and things like this. I just recently took a fabulous workshop called Earth Guardians with Rennie Davis, who was one of the original Chicago Seven. And
For people who are hearing that for the first time, who were the Chicago Seven?
Oh, gosh. Almost before my time, or it was, kind of. I wonder if you know. Well, the Chicago Seven, I guess, had some kind of, well, big influence on the political scene in the 60s. And they were probably, Chicago Seven, I think, had to do with the Democratic convention back in 68. Forgive me, historically, I was just
I'm from I'm from that area. You know, Michael and I are from Rockford, and it was there were seven or eight people that were charged with conspiracy, had to do with riots and protests, a bunch of stuff that was connected to the convention, in 1968,
right?
So he was one of this gang.
Uh-huh, one of the gang.
Cool.
Just the most, I know, just shows that everything changes. And his consciousness over a period of time, but in particular he had a year, I think, of tremendous epiphanies, just shifted, and he got this information about
Earth
Guardians.
Rennie Davis,
yeah. Just fascinating work, and people should definitely look this up. We want to incorporate this because what it talks about is helping people to activate latent genetic capabilities to interact with the Earth more directly, to help be more effective as healers or communicators,
uh-huh.
or know when the Earth needs, you know, some extra gentle energy somewhere, just to be more conscious, which is our natural state anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When we're naturally in touch with life and all the good things that, you know, being bonded to the real thing gives us, then we're sensitive to that energy of the Earth, just like we're sensitive to the energy of each other.
Well, you mentioned before that, or you intimated before, that sharp thoughts can have greater effect than people might imagine, and that hot tempers could lead to, I mean, that's what temper is. It's a short word
right,
for heat. Temperature, right? So all of these things, people oftentimes might underestimate the power of their own individual temper
right.
or their own individual sharp-thoughtedness. You know?
Uh-huh.
There's a new word for you. How about that for language sculpting? Sharp-thoughtedness. I love it.
Yes.
Anyway, please talk about that a little bit and your perception of the power of words and the power of thoughts. And I'd also like to ask you what the hell the difference is. You know, because people oftentimes say, well, you know, thoughts are things and thoughts are real. You got to be careful what you think. But thoughts are different than words because spoken word is different than thought word. And maybe you could riff on it a little bit.
Well, when you're speaking the word, of course, you're putting out the vibration in a physical way. So that would be like a primary difference. And then you're
mm-hmm.
spelling it out like, you know, and the witches, they kind of do spells. That's what that means, spelling it out.
Right, get the right
out,
words together.
Casting the spell to say the word.
And if the words are correct, though, they will have some effect on the physical world, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
But you got to get the words right.
Well, point. Right, exactly. Well, that's the point of language sculpting, which is to create coherent realities through the conscious use of language. So when we say, let it be so, it's so. You know, or when we say, I want this to happen, or I need to be able to do this, 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 and this today, and to lay it out and to have it be able to complete, is completely different than saying, I don't want to run out of time to do that, and I don't want to miss my doctor's appointment,
mm.
I don't want to have to wait 2 hours to get the tires changed, or whatever, and that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say something like, I want my day to go smoothly, when we start our day off with, you know, anticipation that it will go smoothly, right away, first of all, there is a big change for a lot of people.
Mm.
The Earth Guardian material talks about it in terms of better than you can imagine it to be. So whatever the situation is that's coming up or that we're being confronted with, one of the saving graces, if you will, is to say, well, this is going to turn out better than I can imagine it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And at least start thinking our thoughts, taking our thoughts into a place of empowerment and recognizing that there is choice in every moment of all of creation. At every juncture, there's choice. And when you get really right down to it, there's so much choice, we got to stop at one or five. And we look at, like, maybe perpetually expanding universes and how all that stuff happens. It's like, wow, there's so much choice. So recognize that, you know, we're in a 360 kind of bubble. Everything is possible in that moment. Who knows how it could happen, but just know that there are possibilities that miracles can happen when we touch into that level and acceptance that it's natural for miraculous anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Happens. That's really the natural order of things is miraculous.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm unique. I doubt it, but I've experienced what I
would... You are unique, Michael. Come on.
Well, I guess we all are, right? Hopefully. But I've experienced what I would call a miracle. And so for me, I think, well, if it happened once, it can happen twice, and it's probably, this isn't the only time that it's ever happened, and it's probably happening in many places that I'm zero aware of right now. But I mean, I think the more people recognize things in their own lives that seem miraculous, well, then it's just apparent that there are miracles.
And we'll keep coming. Because the more coherent we become, the more aligned we are with all of life and bonded within the natural order of things where the miraculous is natural. So people could really anticipate more miraculous things happening, like, oh, you just happened to show up with that perfect thing I needed right in that very moment, or whatever it could be, or, you know, you get a flat tire on the side of the road, and lo and behold, the perfect person shows up to help you, and, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, people could look for more, and then there would be more.
Okay, what about the people that say, phooey on you, this is New Age hocus-pocus bullshit, and... the fascists are on the march, and the New World Order is about ready to drop the hammer on everybody, and we're all, you know, we're in deep doo-doo, and good luck to all of us. What about that particular position, and how do you handle it? Because I mean, they're looking at the news of the day, essentially, and
stop looking at the news of the day first of all.
There you go. Yeah.
Because fear-mongering is a very big thing. There's, you know, Churchill said, what, you have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would have to sculpt that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to whatever. I'd have to think on that for a moment. Well, I feel like one of the key things for all of us right now is to stay present in each moment as best as we can. Because in that moment is when we're tremendously empowered
to
have a full sense of what's going on. A true picture, because we're connected internally, if we're in the moment, to what's really happening, and to see our way into a secure situation for ourselves, and to know we can imagine it better than we can imagine, or it's better than we can imagine it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, fear is contagious, but so are higher thoughts. So we need to be mindful. I'm working more on mindfulness of my higher thoughts, because that's more powerful than anything.
What do you mean by mindfulness?
I'm aware of where my mind is going and what I direct my attention to and where I allow it to dwell, and realize that whatever I'm seeing out there is old stuff leaving. That's why it's out there.
Right.
And as it leaves, then new stuff is coming, because that's just the way it works. Physics, even.
Now,
Michael can talk about that.
Right. But this sort of ties in with what we were talking about just a minute ago about this difference between thinking and speaking. What do you make of thought forms? In other words, we spend much more time quiet, most of us. Maybe not me. But most of us spend more time quiet than we do speaking. But when we're quiet, there's still much going on in many of our minds.
Sure, we're deep in thought oftentimes. Again, it's important to pay attention to where your deep thoughts are going. Are they going to the relationships in your life, the people who are close to you and special to you and who love you and that you feel loved for? Or the work that you do that's meaningful and significant and, you know, helps the world be a better place, or the garden that you're tending and the food that you're growing? I mean, are we mindful in these ways? I mean, if you live in a city, then there are other ways to find to be mindful. But even if it is as much as sending good thoughts to someone who's hurt. When I see someone with a cast or whatever, I can see in their aura that, you know, this person looks like really sick. I just send a good thought their way. I'm not asking to change anything. I'm just sending a good thought to add to the good thought.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something anyone can do. Everyone can do. And the more good thoughts there are, of course, well, the less there is of other. And it's different. It's just more about encouraging to what we want in life and putting our attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The rest will, you know, again, if we stay in the present moment, it's amazing how much goes away when we're really present.
Right.
I'm finding this a big lifesaver for me. Thank God. I only, like, it took a whole lifetime to figure it out and to really anchor it. But, yeah, staying in the moment makes a big difference because then it's okay right this moment.
Right.
Whatever's happening outside somewhere else. But right now, we're online doing this interview. This is perfect.
Right.
I have everything I need for now, and that's it.
Agreed. All right. One of the listeners puts up in the chat room, the same neurotransmitters that function in the brain also function in the heart ganglia. That's a quote from Joe Pierce. But I read it because I want people to understand that there is very serious science going on behind all this stuff now. And and it really is the real deal about how our bodies and our brains and our minds actually are supposed to work. So
exactly.
Would you talk about that? We've got about maybe five. We got a few minutes before we take a break. Talk about the heart-brain connection and the heart-mind connection, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the difference between the brain and the mind. This is a thing that nobody knows what the hell mind is, but I just want to make the distinction. You know.
Well, when I'm in my heart center yesterday, okay, I was out doing a meditation out in the ocean with the whales, the whale meditation I just learned, and so I've done it about five times now, and it's just like...
Who do you learn a whale meditation from? From the whale, or did you learn it from somebody else?
I got it from a lady named Trish of Doug and Trish. And,
how the hell did she get
it? She got it from the whales at the meditation group the other night. I really like it. It's a very beautiful one where five whales circle around us and then send up the frequencies, the new frequencies from the whales, and then a baby whale comes, and then we go into the heart of the baby whale and then take that and go down with the baby whale and the others down into the center of the earth and then into the core of the earth and bring all that love and those frequencies to the core. So it's a pretty sweet meditation and one I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was doing this, and news to me, but my friend called me from Waimea a short while ago and said, what were you doing about whatever minutes ago, and I said, well, I was actually out there doing a whale meditation. She says, yeah, I know, we just had the earthquake. There was like a 3-point-something earthquake. But she said it was a quake of love. See, some quakes, I guess, are quakes of fear and anger, but some are just movements of the earth through love. So this
You should have heard the show last week, Star.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were.
If I could get online once in a while, I'd be happy to.
We were talking about extended orgasm. And and quakes of love, that's what you made me think of. So anyway, sorry.
Yes, well, that's what a coherent heart does, though, is it can move things. And, you know, the power of love, we talk about this. This is partly what the heart math work is about, but also the dolphin work is about exploring the power of our hearts and the power of love as a very, very immense power to shift things, to open doors, to raise consciousness, to help bring healing, to mend the earth, to fix people's hearts. You know, I'm involved here with the county on our health crisis, quote, crisis, and a lot of people have heart problems, and we have a care provider shortage because people, too many people have bad hearts. But what I saw the other day was that where are we letting our hearts flourish? How are we helping our hearts to flourish and to feel good feelings? Because when we give our attention more to that, then our hearts will be well and sound, and then we'll have plenty of doctors for everybody. In a simple kind of way, but fundamentally also very true.
Yeah, it is interesting that the rise in quote-unquote heart disease, you know, and the fact that it is so prevalent in the West, interestingly. I mean, everywhere on the planet, but certainly more pronounced in the West, I think. And perhaps it is more related to these things than people might anticipate. Again, we spoke before you got on the air. I was talking a little bit about Rudolf Steiner and some of the early ideas that the heart was, you know, more than just a pump, and that there were other things going on, including endocrine functions, you know, and well, now it turns out that people that have all this heart trouble, perhaps it's because, you know, it's these more...
To follow their heart.
Yeah, yeah. And then these
if you follow your heart will put out the yummy neurochemicals, you know. And when your heart and your head work together, then the yummiest neurochemicals come about.
Mm. Endorphins and all this stuff?
And endorphins, too, we call them. When you say yes to yummy, you're generating endorphins more. It's a neuro-light neurochemical transmitter mediated through through the pineal gland and generated by acts of self-love.
Hey,
that's the new neurochemical. I'm going to work out an experiment with Elizabeth to, you know, to find this one. And then there we go with our prize.
Cool. Cool. And this is Elizabeth Rauscher, Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher, that Star is mentioning, of course, who was on the show here just a couple months ago, but doing amazing work in a whole lot of different fields as well. So you are just right in the middle of a whole group of amazing people, and I'm so pleased to be able to talk to you again tonight, Star. I love you so much. You're awesome.
Oh, Michael, thank you so much. I send big waves of love all the way across the continent and the ocean to you, too.
Hey, people that are sending me email want to know who the cute girl in the photo that I have up on my website is. Do you see that? Who's in the water with those three dolphins that are on the new website? The one that Larry's putting together for you.
Oh.
Do you know?
Zero. I wonder who, zero, because
I don't know.
Ask Michael.
It might be you. I zero know. But anyway, that's up on the web right now, and people are just commenting about it. But at any rate.
Oh, thanks.
Well, so the idea of telepathy, one more time, let's sort of wrap that up before we go to break here. But
okay.
But the dolphins are able, in your experience, to know a whole lot about us, and including sort of physiological issues. They seem to be able to give us, I think Michael described it one time as like a full body scan, like a uh-huh. three-dimensional ultrasound or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, what I guess to what end? What good is it doing us or them?
Well, telepathy is probably like how everything communicates in the first place anyway. It's different than we all speak language or words or anything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Words are like secondary. That was like the Tower of Babel
mm-hmm.
when we fell out of paradise, when we had telepathic communion with all life,
mm.
including the earth.
So you believe there was a time, a historical period, where before we were sort of disconnected, and it's more that we're the exception and zero the norm.
Uh-huh.
In other words, we're out there on the fringe, and everything else is communicating just fine, but having difficulty communicating with us and vice versa.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I sort of jive with that. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a really great book by Mr. Boone, Kinship with All Life, years
uh-huh,
ago, and
uh-huh.
he talks about
telepathy
amongst all different kinds of creatures. And then
it's a real little book, a real short little book. It's a great book, though, yeah.
Oh, brilliant book, and really changed my life and opened my eyes a lot about the whole realm of connectivity, because
we're
hardly ever educated or raised in our culture to accept that we're connected or that the heart is anything other than a pumping machine.
Mm-hmm.
When our life starts to open up and change and we let it, and we see that, wait, all of life is connected, and the heart means this and that and is so much more, then our life and our involvement with it can be so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So when we reconnect with our heart, which is what the dolphins, whether you swim with them or what, I only swim with them once in a while. If they're there, great. But it's different than that's my thing, because I got their message. Thank you, guys. Thank you for connecting me with life again and connecting me with everything that's around and helping me feel like what I do makes a difference and what I think makes a difference because we're connected.
Mm-hmm.
And for helping, you know, all of us to hold higher thoughts, because everything will get better with every participation that your audience makes or anybody. Every little bit helps. Every bit adds to something. That's growing more before our eyes.
Yeah, one of the things that I talk about a lot, you know, is the butterfly effect and the fact, you know, that very small you know, perturbations to very big, seemingly very difficult to change systems can be, you know, very effective and can be very strong and have improbable and unexpected
miraculous
results. Yeah, exactly.
Like breakthroughs.
Right, right.
Breakthroughs.
And I think a miracle, you know, when I think of my scientist side says, well, okay, well, how would science define a miracle? And I would say, well, science recognizes that all things are possible. It's just that the probabilities are very, very low for certain things. Well, this is what miracles are, occasions when that probability, you know, regardless of how low it is actually realized. And there you have it. You know?
Well, that's where your intention comes in, and that's where our intention and our coherence lined up with our heart. Empowers things to change and to happen that are quite out of the ordinary or miraculous.
Right, right, right. Fantastic.
We bring all that together.
All right.
Watch out.
Watch out. All right, cool. Let's take a little break, all right?
Okay.
All right, we'll do it. We're top of the hour now, and we are with Star Newland. Star, the website, one more time. I've said it enough. I'll let you say it once.
www.planetpuna.com. planetpuna.com. And thanks to Michael, and thanks to Laura, both of them. We have two versions up for this now. So one's planetpuna.com, and right there is the 123 Jump announcement. And then if you go to planetpuna.com/Joomla, J-O-O-M-L-A, /, that's what Laura started getting up for us too.
It's beautiful.
We're getting ready.
Right, the new site's looking good. I look forward to when you guys sort of go active with that one. So.
Yes, thank you. Everything in its timeliness, Michael.
All right, yes, it's true enough. True enough. Okay, Ms. Star Newland, we'll be back just a few minutes, all right?
Okie dokie.
All right, everybody, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Just about 1 a.m. now, exactly, as a matter of fact, in the morning. On the 22nd of January, 2008. And let's hear one from the Asylum Street Spankers here. This one is called Sidekick. Again, music from the CD entitled Mommy Says No. We'll be back in just a few minutes. It's Mike, listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia.
Get off the lonely
Asylum Street Spankers. You're listening to them here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. It's Radio Orbit. Coming to you live once again Monday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Got about 55 minutes or so left for tonight's program, so we will get right back to our guest, Ms. Star Newland, on the web at www.planetpuna.com. Hello, Star.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hey, do we have a few minutes for you to talk a little bit more about dolphin thinking and idea making or something? I've had a couple of comments at the break about, well, to put it in a nutshell, what do the dolphins know that we zero know, and why should we be listening to them, and what do they have to say to us, and how do we know it?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you. There was just a recent article I got off a website, and it's up on Planet Plymouth. They got the web back up tonight over here. What can we learn from dolphins? And I found this looking out for things for Planet Puna, you know, where we were when we do Googles and stuff. And I was really surprised and happy to see what they wrote about what can we learn from dolphins that could be important, in fact, critical to the well-being and even the future of humans. And one thing for sure is about living in harmony. Mm-hmm. And that's something somehow the dolphins passed on to me, helped me to see and understand from the very beginning, and that living in harmony comes down very fundamentally to unity of all life, the oneness of life, which actually means something, you know, when we realize ultimately there's just everything that's here is still part of the whole thing, so there's still only one,
right.
You know, however you want to make it different or this or that, or however into the dark something went or how light something is, there's still only the one.
Right,
that's,
right.
For me, the grandly unified field.
Yeah,
the oneness of all of it.
It's like the cells of the body. You know, all the individual cells, the trillions of cells that make up the body are still, they're individual cells, but they're the body. I mean, without the body, you know, the whole thing sort of falls away.
Yeah, the body, sculpt that with the body, it holds together. So we are part of that body, what we are, what we think. Where we put our attention matters.
Mm-hmm.
It matters to us personally. Neurochemicals are generated, we know this, depending on our thoughts. I mean, you know, what words we use to talk to ourselves in those silent times. What are we thinking, and where, again, are we dwelling upon those words? And are we saying, God, I hate this, and I wish that person were dead, or, oh, this place where I live is such a dump, or are we looking around us and saying, I know I could make this better. I want to have a better life.
Mm.
I can just even do this and make a difference. I can start sending thoughts of a better nature, like I can say yes to better than I can imagine.
Mm.
So when we're all remembering that we are each individually empowered, everyone matters. That's what being part of the Pod Project is about, ultimately. Everyone matters.
Mm.
Everyone came here with a purpose, with a reason, with gifts to share and to bring to the whole. That's why we're here, together.
You know, Star, there's this old alchemical sort of philosophy that advises the student to walk around his dwelling as if it were a castle, you know, and,
uh-huh.
and regardless of where it was, and to, you know, to use your fork and your spoon as if they were made of beautiful gold, you know, and that it's the best fork and spoon that anyone could ever have, the one that's in your hand, you know.
Nice.
You know, that's sort of an idea, and it really came back to me when with the description that you just made about, you know, looking at your world through that sort of a lens, you know, to make things actually okay.
Sure. And, well, what happens when we do this and start, again, like with sculpting our language, is that we're starting to use yummier words. So when we start using yummier words, then the body's generating those yummier neurochemicals. Michael Heisen can tell you all those technical words. I just kind of forget them. I know how it works, and that's what's really important.
Hey, how's the book on blonde physics coming, by the way?
Oh, the book on blonde physics is coming along quite nicely.
Right.
I'll tell you, it'll be a land-breaking book. It'll be quite a fun piece and also quite profound all at once, just like Blonde is.
Oh, I love it. All right.
I'll put up some excerpts as soon as I can get to it next month.
They'll make a movie out of it, and they'll have that girl, what the hell is her name? I forget.
Reese Witherspoon.
That's the one, yeah. She can play the
part. Legally Blonde, who inspired this, yeah.
All right.
So the Yummier Neurochemicals, so in turn help us have, like, more whole brain functioning, which then in turn helps us to see more holistic views of the world, right? You see the better of it. Because the other stuff is there. It's just that you also get to choose where you're looking. You also get to choose where your attention is going and where you want it to be right now. For example, like, you know, there's no any reason to fight the old system because why? We can just create the new. That's far more potent than anything else we could do.
Agreed.
Is moment to moment. Step in that new world. That was the 1, 2, 3 jump. Step into the new world of how we want to live with each other. Again, our relationships to each other and the earth. And what difference can we make when we're an island of stability in life? So that when stuff might get weird in whatever ways, who knows, a hurricane, whatever, we can help people stay calm. We can help people weather whatever changes could come in a better way. Just because we've taken the time and the effort to get, like, heart-centered with heart math, be coherent with our language through language sculpting, be a good earth guardian by putting our energy into what does earth need for this to get better now, and how can we help? All these things, every person can say yes to it, and yes to yummy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have these two words that always come to mind when we talk about this stuff. Grandfather Wallace Black Elk, who I think you were familiar with. I'm not sure if you knew him well, but he was a huge influence on me, and he died just a few years ago. The anniversary of his passing is coming up in just a few days. But he was very simple and straightforward, and he always would say, "Mike, to help and to heal." And I say, "That's, you know, simple as that." That's he would use those qualifiers, you know, for every action.
Nice.
And, you know, and it was just so simple but amazingly profound, I always thought. And so you just reminded me again of it just now, so.
It's what we're here for. And to bring, I know it's hard because I know people listening, you know, you're in the middle of the country, there's snow and ice and power goes off and there are other conditions and there are drugs out there and domestic violence and we have all of the same stuff here except the weather conditions, you know. So, thanks. But we as communities are dealing with this. And again, really a very important way to look at it is how can we reach out to help each other, realizing that we're in it together, you know, that things will work better when we have support systems across all economic groups, for example, that we find ways to maximize the resources that are available in a way that people are comfortable with. I'm just saying, you know, just be open to, you know, having a connected life, because if something gets funny out there and earth changes happen, however much money you had last Thursday, zero matters if all the ATM machines are down and the banks are off and whatever, I mean, you know, that's where knowing people for real matters. That's where having community and pod matters, where you can help each other. And that's what will help the earth, again, make user changes.
Well, I tell you,
when
Sarah,
we help each other.
It may zero take an earth change for the economic boot to fall. There are serious things happening in the world of global geopolitics and economics right now that are just teetering on
things
the
balancing.
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
is balancing.
Yeah.
If people understand that this is balancing, and their trick is to stay balanced as much as they can while it's balancing, then we will help weather this, because the old systems have to break down. They're too big. There's too much control in the hands of too few. The systems have to yield because life needs to happen more now. People are coming to life. They want to live free. They want their children to be happy and well.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to live a sound life for themselves, a meaningful life. I'll bet if you surveyed your audience, more people want that than anything. And a life in harmony where the resources of our country go to, you know, taking care of people. You know, hello. So much money going for so much other. It's just time that we just say, okay, guys, we're taking it back now. We're calling it back. It's
right.
Us too.
Right, right.
And this is ways that we can do it, especially by gifting stuff, because what you gift comes back multiplied, then why would people have to work so much?
Gosh.
Just keep giving things away, right, Michael?
Yeah.
There's a whole new consciousness about it. And
you know,
there'd be plenty for everyone.
I've been doing a little bit of an experiment. And, I do lots of experiments, but
sure.
But one of them has to do with sort of the idea of abundance, right? And if you grow something, for example, you know, on a small chunk of land, how much of something can you grow? For example, tomatoes, right? I know a guy that can grow so many tomatoes that he has to give them away. I mean, otherwise they'll just go, to, you know, back into the earth or whatever, which is fine, and the critters can eat them. But they're certainly good for humans to eat, and there's so many of them that you could feed. And what I'm learning, I guess, that I want to say is that we can be much more productive than we've ever imagined, and a small group of people that are all doing the thing that they like and that they're good at, they'll probably be prolific at it, and they'll probably make a lot of it, whatever it is, and I've sort of seen this going on around me, and I'm paying attention to it. Would you talk a little bit more about that? And it sounds to a lot of people like a barter type system. I guess is that just another language thing?
Zero, 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 zero. This is zero bartering at all.
All right. Well, explain the difference.
Okay. This is Well, first of all, like when I met the dolphins years ago, I was kind of like a class type A kind of person, you know, credit cards, cash, all that stuff, high heels and everything. And so, I only ever knew about paying money for things. And of course I gave gifts and everything, but it was different than coming from a gifting place, you know? So, when I met the dolphins, though, everything changed for me. And, plastic, the cash, everything kind of went.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had left really were my gifts. And it was never really possible for me to, like, charge for what I did. Every time I tried to, like, make money, it was kind of, like, you know, contained differently. It was never about making money, but it was about being able to give my gifts, because that's what I want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to gift my expertise to this arena or to that, or make this available to others, or put my connections together, because I'm so happy when it happens. That's the gift.
Yeah.
And so, and in the moment too, working with our needs being met in the moment, and that's a very powerful place to be again in the moment. Right now my needs are perfectly met. Give thanks. And people in the audience, you know, when you're looking around in the moment, do you have what you need right now? Because that's all we're talking about is right now. And if you're sitting in your car in traffic on the way to wherever, it's really going to help if you have $50,000 cash right next to you in the car, because now what? So we're talking about really micromanaging and fine-tuning our awareness and our presence in that moment to that extent. And if we realize, well, for this moment I'm okay, then proceed accordingly. And then for the next moments and moments, as you need more or it's time for the what next to happen, then you'll know what next or how to proceed, because in that moment, it will be revealed. So this stuff really makes sense, and it also makes sense from a quantum physics point of view.
I was just going to ask, you to talk a little bit about the quantum connections.
Well, the quantum connections for me come about to the language sculpting part. Again, the creation of coherent realities, because when our minds and our words and our hearts are in synchronization, in some kind of steady state like that, then it's quite natural for us to precipitate or be in the moment where what we need is apparent to us or available to us. Where to go next and now for the what next thing.
Hmm. And that comes, let's talk a little bit about, at least a little bit about the scientific side of it. This is something that's being shown through, well, a lot of people have been talking about it. Remember the movie What the Bleep and things like that? There's this movie called The Secret that lots of people are talking about, although that tends to lean toward the material side of things, I think, from what I saw of it. But but at any rate, some of these ideas are floating around. But simply...
The kinds of ideas are floating around. Mm-hmm. Similar yet different.
Uh-huh. And important in their difference, yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, I just know that when a friend gave me The Secret to look at, I had great trouble with my computer CD player, which always works perfectly, except it refused to play this one. So right away there was like, oh, a message there.
Right.
And then, but I heard enough about it in the beginning, that's why I think. Because first of all, the language needed sculpting. It needed more coherence. It needed clearing. And so people would be getting embedded commands as to, don't worry about this, it'll be just fine. Well, either it'll be just fine or worry about it. But when we are using what we call the common usage of the language, where there are the two sets of phrases, like, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, those are two different thought forms. And the mind is kind of like going in two different directions.
Right. The one, again, the one saying, don't worry, and the other
right,
one says...
don't worry, so you're saying worry, and right, then you have the don't there, and the not kind of makes little knots in your thought form, so mm-hmm, we're catching it like the image that's come to mind for a long time, is we're attaching what comes after the not like an attachment on your computer.
Mm.
So that's why we say zero instead when we realize we've come to a knot in our language, and there's a place in our brain that would have been knotted from that already bunches of times. When we say zero worry, then right away we're cutting through the knot, we're zeroing it out. And it's like we're sending worry back to back to this kind of quantum portal there, just back into the 0 point field there. And then we can say, oh, everything's fine, and just be done with it. It's like a transition from minus to zero to plus valence language, and we call it. Just for fun, because we're shifting balances. Like when we have the Domestic Harmony Awareness Initiative, what started out in the common usage was just say no to domestic violence, or there's no excuse for domestic violence and stuff. So
again, the negative terms.
Yeah, the negative, so that people kept seeing those and loss and domestic violence. So that was like the image that was locked in. And so we had a tremendous rise in domestic violence because all that attention was drawn to it. So one of our earlier bumper stickers said, just say zero to domestic violence. The other early bumper stickers, the first one said, just say yes to domestic harmony.
Mm-hmm.
But when we said, just say zero to domestic violence, we're like making a transition for that.
Right.
We're zeroing it out. We're just like zeroing it out. And the way I think the zero works is just like in arithmetic and multiplication. When you multiply or divide anything by zero, it's zero. So I just kind of think, in a funny kind of physics way, let's say, that when we zero something out, it just kind of makes it go away.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about the dolphin language, because we talked about harmony and how this is the goal of, or one of the goals of much of the work that you're doing. The dolphins are a great model because they are harmonious for the most part. They live with a great sense of harmony among themselves and among the environment in which they participate.
Mm-hmm.
Does that imply to you that their language is more refined, more advanced?
Well, I was actually just thinking about that the other day in a funny kind of way while I was out in the water. I don't think they were there at that time, but I was just out there. And
they're always there.
And around. And, yeah, they're always there. When they're, you know, we're in that vibrational field. It's all vibrations. If everyone kind of understood that, it's all vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, what are we attuning to? And ultimately, we can attune to all of it, and somewhere we are attuned to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about their communications, and how do they do it? Because, like Michael says, they have up to like 3 trillion vocalizations possible, or words, or something.
Oh, yeah,
but
it's ridiculous.
The mind boggles, I mean, for real. So how do they manage to communicate coherently? Well, let's just say for the sake of discussion, they're heart-centered, like the heart math people talk about. Let's just say they have these wonderful heart fields, something about them. and the whales too, and this is what we feel, even if we look at a picture of them, it evokes something. And
oh,
so,
yeah, and if you get in the water with them, I mean, my gosh, it's obvious to anyone, I think.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, their language, even with 3 trillion communication possibilities, is coherent, because I doubt you ever heard the dolphins say, now, don't go over there, Johnny, the eels are down there. You know? Mother would flash a picture, stay close to Mom. And so, again, the earliest communication would have been the telepathic, because we would have been... It would have been before words came in to confuse things, right? We just sent pictures to each other. Our hearts were open and coherent and connected to each other. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we were bonded in clarity and harmonious communications with each other and other life and the planet. And so that's what the dolphins model. And this is what we want to create through the POD Project, what we are creating. And, you know, finding, discovering the various tools that people bring and the gifts that they're sharing, and let's see what we can grow all across the world. Time. We just jumped.
What do you think you need to pull it off? I mean, you've got how much of a... I mean, is it, you just start with the one and
just
grow
one
it
at
like
a time.
Anything else, right?
Just mushroom it out, mm-hmm. one at a time. Just to people say, well, look at... Lindy's website too. Lindy's MySpace. Lindy's Pod Place.
Right. Do you have that actual address, or is it on the website?
It's okay. MySpace.com/Lindy's Pod Home, and people can keep an eye on that to see. Because, like I said, you know, we're in the coffee bungalow in the jungle here, kind of, and we're doing it here. So wherever people are, they can do it. It's just really, do they want to? And can they reach out and include more people for fun? Lindy created a wonderful document about some of the questions we have, like who you are, what your interests are. Do you have children? Do you have video equipment? Do you want to see what we do at night? And we can take a look at what you do at night, and what do pod people do for fun across the world? You know, create pod product like we're working on, and our pod reality show. Just because, you know, people want to have fun. You know?
Well,
and for our children especially, I want to show them a better kind of life and a more meaningful relationship with everything.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that so personally. You know, I've got, you know, my kids. I've got a mm-hmm. 4-year-old son and a 1-year-old son, and man, I want so much for them and all of these other children, you know, to inherit a world that's actually, you know, more everything, you know, of these things that we're talking about. So, well, I think it's a great project, and I'm really pleased to say that, like, right now, as we speak, I am logging into my little MySpace thing here.
Cool.
3YTNE. I got to put in their fancy code. Hopefully it's not... Hopefully it's not sensitive to case. There it is. Add to friends. So I just added Lindy to my friends on MySpace.
Okay.
And get this, I'm her first one.
You'll keep up with us.
I'm the first one.
Thank you, Michael. Oh,
well, actually,
great.
everybody gets a default one. This guy who goes by the name of Tom, I think, who is supposedly the founder of MySpace. So everybody gets Tom as a friend right at the beginning, whether they like it or not. But I'm the first one there at Lindy's site before Tom, after Tom. So I want to let everyone know.
Oh, that's really special. Thank you.
I'm excited about it. Now, she has to accept me as a friend. You can only
She might
deny me, and she might say, forget it.
She'll say yes.
Anyway, MySpace. MySpace.com/Lindy's Pod Home. And Lindy's is LYNDYS.
Oh, LINDY.
Yeah. LINDYSPODHOME. Lindy's Pod Home. At MySpace. And you can go there and make a new friend. And I know a bunch of the people that listen to this show are MySpace members as well. So hopefully she'll get some friends out of this.
Fabulous. Well, we're hooking up our own podplace.com. Our podplace.com or something like that. It'll be an equivalent to MySpace for the pod people.
Uh-huh.
And Laura's going to work with us on that. Thanks, Laura. We've already discussed it. So that we're going to have, like, you know, a meaningful virtual and coconut cyber community, so that people actually... The whole point is that we connect physically as well as virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And that people really get to participate to the extent they want to. You know, it's sort of like we have any rules or anything yet. I'm kind of like more free-flowing than that. And that's how we like it to be, just kind of like pod-like that. We have certain guidelines of appropriate behavior, of course, because it's important to be welcome where you go, and that means you behave certain ways and you do certain things. And we're going to put together some pod products, you know, like demonstrating what does that look like, you know, when you go to a pod home somewhere in a foreign country, and how do you behave and what to look forward to and how do you find things in common and, you know. So we're growing it locally, but the whole point is to generate it everywhere.
Right. Okay.
If people want to be part of the pod can. And then we can have big gatherings just like the dolphins do.
Right, right,
super
right.
Pods.
All right, look, we've got to take one more break here. Before we go to break, though, you got to tell the people what you call the toddler-age kids in the pod world.
What we call them?
Didn't you call them toddlers?
Toddlers.
I love that, toddlers.
Yeah, they're toddlers.
Yeah, we got toddlers in this world. Yeah. In the new world, it's toddlers.
Yeah.
And I love
it. And they're terrific twos. They're terrific twos. We have to remember they're terrific.
Yeah, not the terrible twos, right? The terrific
zero
twos.
Terrible, but
zero
terrific.
Terrible.
My right. Son's 2-year-old twos were just the best.
Awesome. Yeah, my son's at two. Well, my one son's approaching two in 6 months or so, but my first son, when he was two, he was awesome. He's been great his whole life. I just love him.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll have another 20 minutes or so, and we can talk about anything you like, all right?
Sweet. I'd love to talk about the wellness pod just a bit when we come back. Thank you.
We'll do it. We'll do it. All right, everybody, it's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My guest is Star Newland. On the web, www.planetpuna.com. And wonderful stuff there to be seen and checked out by all, okay? You can also link over there from my site at mikehagan.com. And this program will be up in the archives within the next day or two, as all of them are, God willing. Okay, so back in just a minute with Star. Once again, the Asylum Street Spankers. This one is called Don't Turn Out the Light. They should sculpt that one, shouldn't they, Star? All right, back in a few minutes. It's Mike, KOPN Columbia, Radio Orbit.
the Asylum Street Spankers. That's Don't Turn Out the Light. Please, Mom and Dad, let me sleep with you tonight. I hear that often enough. Actually, my kids are great. They always sleep well because they're so wild during the days, I think. And it's nice that they sleep well. It's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia. And I'm going to sleep well after this radio program is over. But that's not for another 22 minutes. And we're going to enjoy the last part of this program with my guest, Star Newland, from the Sirius Institute on the web at planetpuna.com. Hello, Star. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike. Aloha, audience again.
Thank you for sticking around with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I've had a lot of fun always.
Of course. What time is it there in Hawaii? It's going on 10 o'clock?
It's going on 10 o'clock, about 20 to 10 or so.
That's a nice 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock interview for you. That's very nice. Very comfortable.
Nice. Yep. I'm watching the full moon up here.
Oh, yeah.
It's about full moon.
Yeah, sure.
Aligned with Sirius, by the way.
Mm.
And a beautiful, crisp winter night in Captain Cook. Home of some fabulous Kona real coffee, by the way.
A crisp winter night. I'll tell you what a crisp winter night is. Minus 4 degrees here in mid-Missouri, okay?
64. Oh, 64, we're freezing and shivering. Oh, I'm so cold.
All right. Let's see. You wanted to talk about, before the break, what?
The Wellness Pod.
Yes, what is it?
And the Wellness Pod is also part of the Pod program. And what it is I have a number of friends over the years who are healers of different types. And rather than needing doctors so much, we just really need to know how to stay well.
I agree.
The focus of the Pod program too is wellness, consciousness, and we give people wellness inoculations by fun and yummy.
Uh-huh.
Remembering that yummy is the key to wellness, and saying yes to yummy is really important for ourselves. And I mean in a measured, reasonable kind of way. I'm saying about allowing ourselves the pleasure of life and to feel part of it again and all that that really means, and again to let our hearts flourish. When we do this, we'll have a much higher level of wellness for ourselves the way we're meant to. So part of the Pod Project includes different wellness practitioners, healers of different types, coming around to the different pod homes. Of ease you here because, of course, we're on an island and I'm on one side of the island right now, but the idea being that my healer friends are more than happy to go from place to place and set up, you know, wellness days where people who hang out at that particular pod home or in that area want to come and have a day with a cranial sacral worker, for example, or an acupuncturist or Chinese herbalist or a doctor of chiropractic or reflexologist or a massage therapist. I mean, all the different things that we know make a difference in keeping us well, and also early detection and prevention of things. But if people live their life with more fun and aloha and kindness, we're going to be healthier anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we might as well accept that as our natural state, first and foremost. And what can we do and give ourselves to return to our natural state, just like paradise,
right,
where people are well, of course, because how else could they be? They were in harmony with themselves, and the communications were from the heart and clear and true, and, you know, people got along with each other. And I know it sounds kind of idyllic maybe, but at some point we have to start the process of accepting that life could be much better for us, and there are little steps that we can take, and they add up and they make a difference.
Yeah, and this fact that, you know, neurotransmitters and brain biochemistry and neurochemistry is being physically altered by the thoughts,
sure,
and the actions and the language that we all engage in.
Exactly.
You know, this
the
actually
platforms you're sending out.
Right. And these chemical changes, of course, then affect health because that's what the body is in a mechanical sense. It's a system of enzymes, and it's a system that wants to stay in a particular sort of balance. And,
yeah, wants to stay yummy.
and harmony and balance are words that sort of work well together, right? So,
right,
yeah, okay,
exactly.
So I'm fully with you. And I think that for most people, you know, there's a guy who was on the show a few months ago. His name is Bruce Lipton. And he wrote this book called The Biology of Belief. But he was a fancy
cellular biologists, you know, molecular
right.
biologists, and
right.
world-renowned, the whole bit. But he has, you know, has even come around. It shows you, you know, that mainstream science is actually, you know, catching up, I guess. But but he says exactly this, that, you know, our own, the chemicals that we create through our own mechanisms, through our own mind and through our own thoughts, uh-huh. you know, then those things go on to affect all of our cells, and the resulting
everything.
Organism is what's left, you know.
Right. So that's one of the things. So the wellness part of the project is about that, and, you know, introducing wellness consciousness and inoculating people with wellness. But this comes back to also starting out life in a better way. And to this, we're working on the Safe Baby Resolution still and more mm-hmm. with Janelle Miranda. But zero is a resolution anymore, but more about getting support now and action to get more of those ideals, in fact, all of them that are in the Safe Baby Resolution, brought to bear so that women have choice and gestational environments and all of that we talk about. So that's part of it. And then, of course, the Dolphin Birthing Project, the interspecies birth support that we're working with Papa K. Cipollino. He's a wonderful Hawaiian healer, Lomi Lomi master. In fact, we now have a website link up for his workshops that he's doing over here for the next several months. Papa K is also one of the last people to know how to help women have babies in the water with dolphins in the traditional Hawaiian way. So he's our Hawaiian kapuna that we're working with,
mm-hmm.
We love very, very much, and who's really, really special. And he did a blessing for Penn and Teller's TV show when they came out to or Domestic Harmony Awareness Day on 11/11. We were filmed. That's just something else that I should mention to your audience. The Penn and Teller film crew came out and filmed the Sirius Institute on November 11th with an expectant couple, Jen and Joelle. And Papa K did a beautiful chant and called the dolphins and asked them to come. And then our group went out on the boat, and then for the first time ever, our young lady swam with the dolphins, and they just came all around her and loved her up, and they got great footage. So here's to Aaron and the crew.
Cool.
He said that it would be the most awesome show ever. So
huh.
We're looking forward to that when that TV, you know, writer strike is.
Oh, well, please let me know. Yeah, because
I'll let you know. I'm
yeah,
sure
let me know at least a week them. Ahead of time so I can tell the listeners and we can get other people to watch it. That's wonderful. I think that's
great. Oh,
yeah,
that would be so fun. So that's something else that's working, you know, in terms of change from last year to this year. You know, there's been more media attention, of course,
mm-hmm.
and more proclamations for domestic harmony awareness. This year for the first time, or last year rather, November, each of the mayors of the four islands gave us a proclamation for November, Domestic Harmony Awareness Month, and November 11th, Domestic Harmony Awareness Day. So that was pretty exciting, really exciting that they all said yes to domestic harmony.
Right.
So now we have the whole state kind of blanketed in a way. But this coming year now, our state legislature is just into session. So my state representative, Hanohano, she's going to present a request for proclamation for the whole year. This is what we're going for this year. 2008 is the year for domestic harmony awareness and for the whole state. So she's representing it for the House, and then Senator Kalani English is putting it in for the state Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really wonderful, because 1 month for domestic harmony awareness in 1 day is just like too little. We need more now, like a whole year to give it attention and to really make it a viable solution.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Navy at Barking Sands. We're really excited because the proclamation from the mayor of Kauai is going to reside over at the base there. And we're making arrangements between them, Tom Clements and the mayor's office, to get a copy of the proclamation. So that, you know, this indicates a very strong level of support from the Navy for domestic harmony. And there's a link on Tana Puna, too, for the Navy's article about this weeks ago before the end of the year. That's really exciting. That's like amazing news that the Navy is partnering with us for domestic harmony.
I think it's remarkable.
hearing more and learning more, and, you know, that's pretty exciting.
Really is. It's great, and you've been working on it for a while, and things are coming around. You obviously have a relationship with the people there now.
Uh-huh. Well, also to the point that I've already spoken with them, too, about the Pod Project, because one remedy, there are a couple of things about our work that's relevant to the situation with the veterans. One thing is that veterans coming back, and we know this, I've been saving off articles the last several days about the domestic violence they're coming back into, or they're bringing back. Well, it's just post-traumatic stress disorder. Neurochemicals, they're fritzed and all these things. And so the heart math work is really important to helping them. We can apply this for them and have practitioners available to help them, you know, on reentry, like my friend Sheva Kaur does. And Dana does, and, you know, there are different things that can be done, and then because we want to incorporate these in the, and are incorporating them into the Pod Project, this would be perfect for veterans to be able to come back, and how much more ease they would feel knowing that there was actually something available to them easily and readily that could help and help make a difference from the beginning. You know, that there are ways and techniques that can help them resolve in a good way, in a natural kind of way, what they've been through, you know. And then what Michael and I want to do with Navy dolphins is some dolphin therapeutics, so that maybe we could use Navy dolphins to work with Navy veterans, and together they can help each other get better. That's our vision for 2008, is to get that rolling. But also to show the ways in which, and to learn more about how the dolphins can and do interact with us in therapeutic ways, and what can we learn from them that we can apply for ourselves, so that in the end, you know, they can be our friends and our teachers, just like they were in The Voice of the Dolphins by Leo Szilard. You know, they taught us so much, and they're teaching us so much still. And we've yet to even have, like, quote, a breakthrough in communications with each other. But somehow there is communication.
Right.
Somehow the message is getting across. Everything that stands between us, including the difference between the ocean and the land.
Star?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you there for a moment.
Oh, that was my son's voicemail message, since he's going to bed early. He gets up really early for work. So,
How's your family and your granddaughter?
Fabulous, just fabulous. It's very it's interesting, you know, having grandchildren. Of course, I mean, there's millions of grandparents, so I'm one of many. But just the whole experience of knowing that life is being carried on. That these young people, their parents said yes to life, knowing that there's lots of change coming, in whatever way, who's to say how, but still, I'm very heartened that the granddaughter's here and that the mom and dad are so happy with each other, and they're a beautiful pod.
Cool.
And they're a role model, you see, because a lot of these young people have their kids together. So it's interesting to observe, like, how they grow up with each other, you know, how their children come in together, and how they're sharing information, and how they're kind of, like, weaving their own life with each other. I find it fascinating. I just love to see continuity. I love to see wisdom transmitted. In fact, we have part of our Pod Project, too, is what we call the transmission of our culture, which is quite a bit broader meaning and more meaningful than schooling our children or educating them. But it's really about transmission of culture. What does it mean to be a successful, sustainable, harmonious human being? You know, and how do you know how to be one, and where are the role models? And this is where, when it takes a whole pod or a pod to raise a whole child, this is what we're talking about. That there are lots of people who want to be involved in life more fully, be involved in the lives of children, and, you know, pass on their wisdom and their culture. So in our Pod Project, we make that possible by our pod places and our pod homes and places where you can gather, and, you know, you're welcome and you're part of what's happening there.
Yeah, you mentioned the word success, and I wonder about how we define it. And
oh yeah, I felt that thought actually, Michael. I knew that. Okay. Well, I realized. Well, success is a nice word also, anyway. But I mean, success as a human being. I mean, just like a happy human being to me is like successful, kind of. whose life has some kind of meaning. You know, they feel good about themselves. They're successful. You know, they're just a decent human being.
Right. Not necessarily a monetary.
What you have, or it's all about what you have.
Right.
I mean, because
right.
Well, you know, I just read this book about songlines, about the Australian songlines. It's a stunning book and really brilliant. And then I was rereading this Earth Guardian information, and I've been living on the road for quite some time and wondering, why am I living on the road? I kind of think I want a home, but on the other hand, I'm really enjoying being on the road. And the point is that we're kind of meant to be more nomadic, I guess. We're meant to be more like mobile and have fewer attachments to like so much stuff all the time. Because in a lot of ways, we just want to be able to use it, or maybe we could think about what it would be like to be freer.
Oh, yeah, I think that's one of our primary human sort of instincts is to be able to get up and go, you know?
Right. So, in the pod...
That's why we love our automobiles so much here in the West, you know?
Yeah, because we can get up and go. But what if we had places where we could, like, come to while we're being visitor pods or transient pod people? Because in the dolphin world, they're actually called transients. Just in the humans that we've given that kind of a minus connotation, but it's a perfectly legitimate word. And so in the transient pod, what if we just, you know, have places where we like to go and be and we're welcome and we get to do things there, like my heart friend Una, who's coming to pray for us Wednesday night for a party. What if we just had neat places to go where what we needed was there, like a printer or a computer or, you know, a nice bed to lay down on, fresh sheets and stuff. And
right.
We just knew that when we got there, it would all be okay. Hmm. And the same thing when someone got to our place, whoever's place that was, maybe they would come to our place sometime. And they would have their needs met, even like clothes that fit, because, you know, there's always going to be extra clothing somewhere.
Right.
Extra stuff. So that I feel like even like beyond some of the other things we've discussed about it, there's something intrinsically satisfying about being free, about just being free. You know,
sure
having
enough.
A very rich life by having almost zero, because everything that's out there, you know, talking in a sense that what we come into contact with, what's part of our pod, let's say, they're like you can go to someone's house and just help yourself to whatever. But that when you come as part of the pod, that, you know, that your needs are met. And just like when someone comes to you, your needs, their needs are met. Just that there's a way to share and to be freer and to have more at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And have a lesser of a carbon imprint on the earth, too, a footprint on the earth, too.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of resources. We just have to distribute them better.
I agree.
The flow.
I've heard it many times in many different ways said by lots of different guests. We have all of the answers. We have the solutions already here in our hands. It's a matter of changing our minds, essentially.
Yes. So for our 1-2-3 jump celebration tonight, again, we are reminding the audience to join us from now until 1 o'clock on January the 23rd, when we'll be broadcasting in some ways and filming here at Lindy's Pod Home.
Awesome.
And we'll be making this available as Fritalasa to 90 countries in the world. So this will be a pretty exciting way to spread the word, and through your audience and through cyberspace and through word of mouth. It's just going to keep spreading. And whoever wants to participate, welcome aboard and welcome home. Part of the pod.
You
say find the others, we say let's.
All right, well, let's
create the super pod.
Let's do it. And you just let me know as soon as you get any of that stuff available, and I will make sure that everybody else knows, at least those that are connected to me, okay?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we'll put out the Penn and Teller stuff, and we'll put out a press release as soon as we have a minute for the last people, and Sondrine and Sophie and all the wonderful people, and you, Michael, and Laura, and your KOP, and everybody who's helping this to happen. Give thanks and Cosmic Wave Radio. Give thanks and gratitude for all of it.
All right. Well, Star, you're wonderful as always. Thank you so much, and we're going to have to say aloha once again. Our time moves swiftly.
So fast.
I love
it,
though.
Enough will be past time.
Soon enough. All right, my dear.
Much love. Aloha.
Aloha. Take care, Star.
Aloha.
Everybody, yeah. Star Newland on the web, planetpuna.com. Wonderful stuff. Thank you, Star, once again. This program will be up in the archives for other people to share and listen to as well in the next few days. So thanks again to Star Newland. Thanks again to the Asylum Street Spankers. Great music. We'll finish off things with another one from the Spankers here in just a minute. And thanks to all of you out there listening to the program, everybody in the chat room. Thanks as always, and I appreciate all of you listening to the show and the participation that we get. It's just a thrill to be able to do it with y'all. So anyway, we'll do it again next week, and I'm very excited about the program. We'll have Russell Means on the show, the 28th of January. We'll talk about the Lakota Nation and what's happening with their relationship to the U.S. government, okay? All right, it's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit, and my relief is absent this evening, so I'll put on some music and get my paperwork done here, and then I will probably take this radio station off the air for a few hours until they return with morning air at about 5:30 in the a.m., okay? So in the meanwhile, enjoy yourselves. Have a great evening. Have a great week. I'll get back with you next week, and we'll talk with Russell Means, and should be an interesting program. Very excited about it. So come on back then. In the meantime, have a great time. Take care of yourselves, all right? This one is called When I Grow Up. And once again, the Asylum Street Spankers on the web, asylumstreetspankers.com. It's Mike. You've been listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN, 89.5 FM, Columbia, Missouri.
When I grow up, I want to be a plumber.
When I grow up, I want to be a tornado chaser.
When I grow up, I want to be in a band.
I want to be a football player.
I want to be a DJ.
I want to be an archaeologist.
A doctor.
A marine biologist.
A zoologist.
When I grow up, I want to be a janitor.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher.